What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
I'm hyper as fuck.
I'm yet again hungover. But trying to get some hyphy in there.
What? Hyphy?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's an East and Northern California way of saying hyper. It's stupid.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So what are like some other style of music?
Yeah.
What are some other this NorCal
face,
things?
Fizz face.
I know Hella is very NorCal.
Yeah.
What else? So hyphy.
Fizz face.
Fizz face?
Fizz face?
Fizz face.
Yeah, fizz
it's
face?
Like it when you're rolling on ecstasy. Like,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
Fizz face.
Oh,
gosh.
What else is Northern California? I don't know.
Bring your jacket. Oh, it's cold out.
Here's a big one, and I have no idea. I guess I could do some research, but I don't know if I could find it. Up there, you say, you take the, these are freeways, you take the 101 to 805 to 85, and then to the 60th. Oh, shit, I can't stop doing it. Down here, you put the in front of it. You take the 5 to the 805 to the 101. Up there, you just go 101 to 680. I can't. 2680 to, yeah.
Yeah.
You take the out of it. I don't know why.
That's where they do it everywhere else in the United States.
What, Arizona.
Without the?
Mm-hmm.
So SoCal thing is a the.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're the only ones that do that.
Yeah, it's only SoCal, but also in Arizona, where I'm from, we use, we put the I in front of it, like interstate. So we take like I-10 to I-8.
Okay.
So.
And then there's another one. So in most places where there's no congestion, let's say like Montana, they say, how far away is that? And you say 15 miles. But here we go 20 minutes because we have traffic. So like they go by the... They go by the actual distance.
I thought you were going to say something like 15 cows.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And as well, in Arizona, since everything's like grid-based, everything's like north, south, east, west, you just say, like, you go north on 22nd, and you go east on Broadway instead of saying left or right.
Right, yeah.
You just north, gotcha. South.
That's how Utah is, too.
All right, so apologies to the people watching the stream. It looks like we're having some technical issues with it. So there is going to be some stuttering, but hopefully that'll clear up in a little bit. We also redid the show notes. So the plan is, the reason we did that is so we can include that when we post the episode in the description. So now, if you look at the description of this episode, rather than a quick write-up that I usually do, which is like not even five sentences sometimes, just a brief description of the episode, but it's actually going to be links to everything we talk about, names of the games, even the news articles, probably not the listener questions included in there, but everything should be linked.
Yeah, people have been asking about that, so yeah, we listen to your feedback.
But where's that going to go? Obviously, it'll be on our website.
Episode description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you download a podcast, there's always a description on there. And most podcasts put a lot of effort into this. They'll do a little write-up, like maybe a couple paragraphs, kind of just talking about what the show is about. They'll leave links in there, links to the social media.
Will the links work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can click on them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Well, it'll work better than your internet right now, Emilio.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to tell you.
I thought almost Mexico gives you the benefit of better internet.
No, it's terrible. It's almost Mexico, Chi. What did you not get?
Hey, no one. I call it whenever I do a speed test at my house. Yeah. It always pulls from Tijuana.
Oh, really?
So
really?
Mexican internet gives me over 250 download and over 20 upload.
You know what's funny is Sam's family does a lot of business here and over there, and like mostly over there because they have businesses there, and they just say like every time you do business in Mexico, there's something called Mexican Surprise, where like if they say Tuesday, it's probably Friday, and it's probably only going to be half done. Like it's always Mexican. We just look at each other. I would say three times a week, we look at each other and go, Mexican Surprise.
That almost reminds me of the Asian Supplies joke.
Oh, yeah, Supplies.
All right. Shout out to some Patreons. We have Ben, Dustin, and Daryl.
Yeah, message me on Discord and I'll get you guys your t-shirts.
Yeah, make sure you get that green name on Discord as
well. Yeah, if that doesn't work, let me know. And from time to time, I manually have to do it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a clicker, too. All right, let's talk about some games. So what games have been on the radar? We got some big ones coming up that I had to put in here. So Call of Duty Black Ops 4, not a whole lot known about this yet. They have confirmed there's going to be a Battle Royale mode. So I feel like any game that comes out now, like it used to be zombie mode or multiplayer or deathmatch that was always included in the game. Now it's got to have a Battle Royale mode.
So I know a little bit about this. I just watched somebody who actually played it. They were talking about it for quite a bit. First of all, they're going to have no single player mode.
And, what?
Yeah.
And no campaign in Call of Duty?
At all. No.
That's strange.
And that the developer said that saved them millions of dollars.
Yeah, I can see that.
That they could put into the multiplayer, right? Mm-hmm.
So, that's interesting because yeah. they're calling it, it's a whole new rendition of the game, but strictly multiplayer.
Yeah, and you know what? Wow. Like, personally, what I think is they use a Black Ops name because they knew.
Yeah, they're stealing the name. Not stealing the name. Yeah, it is still them.
The credibility.
Their credibility, exactly. And they're trying something completely new. Really, this could have been Call of Duty, like, a whole new IP underneath Call of Duty, but they use the old name to try to get some more copies sold. They're trying some crazy shit here. So basically, it's turning into a hero shooter, something closer to Overwatch, where you play guys that have abilities,
yeah.
and then they build up.
Like Siege, right?
Like remember yeah, Siege? Yeah, more like Siege, yep. But also you have an ultimate that you charge up, I believe. Or they don't call it an ultimate, but it's called like an epic ability.
I think Black Ops 3 had that.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
But it's even more pronounced here.
Oh, okay.
And then they have their zombie mode, which looks like it has fleshed out characters. It looks very much like Left 4 Dead. Because there's four, like, there's like an old guy, there's a girl, there's a black guy, like there's characters, right?
Yeah.
But Black Ops doesn't have any. So that's a part. It's in this game, but it's apart from that. I think it could have been its own. They could have just sold it.
Well, at least they have zombies because
yeah, cool.
if they completely took out single player campaign and took out zombies yeah. and just threw in the multiplayer saying, hey, we're saving money and we're still going to cost you a lot of money to play this game. I don't know. That bothers me a little bit.
No, you're getting more content. I think it's cool for sure. But the zombies used to be you just use your soldiers from your nameless soldiers from from Call of Duty and just kill zombies with them, right?
Right.
Now they're putting, I guess, a little bit of story into it. I don't know. It seems more fleshed out than the zombies before. And it's inside this game. Then on top of that, there's the Battle Royale mode, and nobody really knows much about that, how many players or how it's going to work out. But I saw some gameplay. It looks pretty good. It was kind of, it's the same developers, right?
So yeah.
Treyarch.
I was going to say it reminds me of Titanfall, you know, the movement and all that. That's the same guys, right? Or some of the same guys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if any of the guys went to Treyarch.
I think it worked the other way around, right? Call of Duty guys took off and made.
Yeah, but it wasn't from Treyarch. They went from Activision.
Oh, from Activision?
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine this being a huge success because I love the single player and I love the Call of Duty games, but multiplayer does do it very well all the same.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're focally focused, their focal point is multiplayer now. I want to see what they're doing significantly different compared to every other edition that has come out previously before. It's going to be a huge success regardless because it's Call of Duty. But for being strictly multiplayer Call of Duty, they really have to step it up more than where they have previously before. And not just implementing a battle royale mode. Like, that's overplayed. There's got to be something a little bit more extraordinary than your traditional multiplayer shooter.
It seems like they're just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
You can see influences from a bunch of games in this game. They took a little bit of Overwatch, took a little bit of, like PUBG. They took some Left 4 Dead. And I don't know. Hopefully, if they're putting this much into it, I'm sure the shooting and the gameplay is going to be fun. It's a very crowded field right now of having this kind of like hero shooter.
I would be disappointed if it played like every other Call of Duty that came out.
Yeah, it's time for something new for sure.
It looks interesting, and I hate to say that because I just feel like I shouldn't like Call of Duty, but watching the gameplay, it actually looks really
good. Have you played Call of Duty?
Yeah, I was on a sponsored team.
Oh,
for Call
I forgot
of Duty
about that.
Way back when.
Yeah, so that. So did you see that? How that yellow just appeared?
Yeah.
Disappeared? I think that's his
like
ability.
A special ability?
One of his hero abilities. And then there's the dedicated health bar or health thing. You have to heal yourself now.
Okay.
Instead of like. Anyway,
it's not out of region.
We'll see. That's all we can really say. We can talk about all this stuff it's going to have, but whether or not it's fun, who knows? It'll probably sell, though, too, like you said.
Yeah, it will definitely sell, but it I want it to like be worth the price point it's at without the addition of the
campaign. Do they have a price tag on it yet?
No.
Because a lot of really good multiplayer shooters, you know, virtually cost you nothing at all. Of course, I would definitely pay money for Call of Duty whenever, because it's a great game, but if it's if they're going to charge $60, and I know they are, they better meet up with the content. With,
yeah, for sure.
Well, here's my question.
So he just got his ultimate right there in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
The type of game that they're releasing is obviously something that's focused more on a online community that changes from time to time, patch updates. These games are meant to last for a long period of time, but Call of Duty releases a new game every year. Mm-hmm. So how is this going to impact Call of Duty games in the future? Like, are they just going to be like, oh, we're no longer supporting that?
What if they pull? Or they pull? What if they pull the Left 4 Dead trick, where they release Left 4 Dead 2, but really it was just Left 4 Dead 1.5?
I kind of see like a Windows 10 thing happening here, where they're just going to kind
of like this is Call of Duty from now on, and we're going to release DLC and updates
if it works. If it works, if it doesn't work, they're going to go back to their roots right away. Their next, so who knows? Like I said, it depends on how well it does, how fun it is. Personally, it doesn't really interest me, but, what was the game that studio that just shut down, Boss Key? Their game was not a bad game. Lawbreakers was not a bad game, but it was in a super crowded field.
Yeah.
I mean, they have their name. That's why they're using Black Ops, but, who knows?
I'd be willing to give this a try.
It takes more than being just a good game at this point.
You know what else focuses quite a bit on multiplayer over single player is the Battlefield series. They've always kind of been like that. Battlefield has never been about the single player campaign, right. I feel. It's always been about the multiplayer, the squads, the more tactical, strategic approach to a shooter. And a new Battlefield game is coming out, Battlefield 5, and spelled with a V. Some people have speculated that hints at a Battlefield Vietnam
type game. Yeah, because they've never used Roman numerals before. So I thought that was a pretty good theory.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, I don't know. It's blue. I don't know. That throws me off.
Nothing's blue in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Even the water's murky brown. Trust me, I've been there. I'm just kidding.
Very little known about this game. Some people are speculating there's a Battle Royale mode in this as well.
The maps are already big enough.
I can see it much more naturally happening in the Battlefront. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So I don't know, not much to really talk about. They're doing a live reveal May 23rd. That'll be the day after this episode comes out. Live reveal, they're going to show the game off. We'll have a better idea of what it's going to be about when that happens. But Battlefield has never really let me down. Even Battlefield 1 that I didn't play all that much, it was still a great game.
Definitely.
But I'm still hooked on 4. I mean, that's my Battlefield of choice.
I would prefer that they announce a cross-platform for Battlefield. It is such a wide-scale game. If they can make it happen, I would love that.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, Fortnite did an amazing job, you know, making that happen. And I feel like titles like Call of Duty and Battlefield, maybe it's about time they consider that.
If they can play it through cross-platform.
Yeah.
If they can do it on Fortnite, I mean, it's pretty much a lot of the, I don't know, I'm not a tech guy, but it seems to me that a lot of the stuff is pretty similar, isn't it? It's people shooting each other, spawning on different places, then running at each other. I mean, if you break it all down, it's the same shit. If it can be done on Fortnite, it can probably be done on Battlefield.
Well, if you're not going to spend that money on single campaign, you might as well try to push it into, like I said, features that make multiplayer more amazing than it was before, which would be cross-platform, in my opinion.
Yeah. Rhythmax in the chat mentions that Bad Company 2 had a really good campaign. Now, that was not on PC, right? That was a Battlefield game.
I think
that
it was
strictly PlayStation. Bad Company 2.
Bad Company 2 was
maybe
on
PC. Maybe it came
PC,
out much later, because I remember that came out, and I couldn't play it on PC, and I was very upset about it.
Is Bad Company 2 the one where you're you have three guys in your squad, it's single player, and you're like in a jungle setting?
There was snow. I remember playing in snow on it, but
there's so many
it was on Windows,
Was there any blue in the game?
Zero blue.
Zero blue. No, there was water. The water was actually pretty blue in Bad Company, too.
Oh, was it?
So yeah, okay. Definitely.
How are you going to fuck things up, man? Yes, and.
Yes, and. I feel like Battlefield would be better cross-platform than Call of Duty.
How weird is this?
No, that's what I think.
How weird is
this? But with Call of Duty, even, I used to use the Zim. I know. I'm sorry. Dirty cheater.
Zoom?
Mouse and, the Zim. It's a mouse and keyboard adapter for Xbox. Okay. So on my 360, I think it was Modern Warfare around those times. Using mouse and keyboard.
All the best players do.
Okay. Yeah. Bad Company 1 was strictly console. Bad Company 2 was on PC.
Okay.
Wow, okay. I think I played it on PC. I remember enjoying it.
But there's no way you can do cross-platform with a first-person shooter. It just wouldn't be fair. Try playing Counter-Strike with a controller. Like, you're not going to do well.
Yeah. I mean, they have the aim, auto aim, right? But, like, what's the last game that did it? I saw that they were just getting crushed. Anybody not on a PC was just getting crushed. Yeah.
They've tried doing that for, like, decades, and it's just never worked.
They did that with Paragon for a long time, like, very early.
Yeah.
And you could just tell the console players, they couldn't hit things. Like, everything's a skill shot in that game.
Right.
So they just were not good at all.
Well, Amelia's right. A game that it would work on probably is Battlefield.
Yeah,
it's so wide scale.
I totally forgot about that.
You have vehicles.
Yeah, definitely. Like
planes, all of that good
shit. In a jet, you want a controller or a joystick. It's hard to do mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it comes down to two people running a room together, and then one has to shoot the other one in the head first.
Yeah, at the end of the day, right?
At the end of the day.
But, having
you're totally right, Bobby. I totally forgot about that aspect of it.
Yeah. All right, last game I want to bring up, Bunker Punks.
I've seen this a bunch of times.
I have not seen it at all.
It's getting some publicity. So it looks, the graphics are not that great. It's one of these retro shooter / roguelikes. I feel like there's been a lot of these recently.
It looks like Doom, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking
about the graphics are very old.
Pixelated graphics, yeah.
So one of the special things about this is it's got some sort of strategic part of it where you just like some base building apparently, but it looks like maybe a leveling system. I don't know. It's $15 on Steam.
I have this game. I've played this game.
Okay. You have?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You sure about that?
Yeah. I played it for probably like 2-3 hours.
And you didn't talk about it?
I think I did.
Oh, okay.
I must have. Or I forgot about it. I forget about a lot of things.
I feel like I would have remembered something like this.
I 100% played this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
When was this game released?
There's better first-person shooter.
Oh, 2016.
It's still in early access three years later?
Bobby, there's better first-person shooter roguelikes. Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't spend the $15 on it.
This 15, I mean, that's sizable.
It kind of looks like that. The Chex remake of Doom.
Play it off my account if you're interested.
Yeah, maybe I will.
It wasn't terrible, but
did the Chex remake Doom? I never heard of that.
No, it like came with the box of Chex, and it was Doom, like 100% Doom.
Oh,
but they did it with like Chex like
cereal. I thought you meant Chex like the people.
Chex.
I'm like, they remade Doom. What is this?
So it's like 100%.
Good call, man.
100%.
It does look like it.
Yeah.
Bobby, the base building part of it that you were just talking about? I'm not sure it was implemented when I was playing.
Oh, okay. That's like a new feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. It released in beta, I think March 2006, it said.
16.
2016. So this game right here, this is obviously using like a Doom engine.
Bring it up again.
This is Doom.
Chex Quest.
Chex Quest.
Yeah.
Chex the cereal, not Chex the people.
But a lot of people don't know this, but they used like id sold that engine to a couple of people and they made their own games of it, including a religious game.
Oh, right. Noah, I think it was.
Yeah, Noah's Ark 3D. I have it on Steam. Let's see. Noah's Ark 3D. So it's pretty much Doom, except instead of running around and shooting people, you are feeding animals on the ark.
I thought you were like putting them to sleep. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, you feed them and they go to sleep.
Oh my goodness.
So it's
this
pretty
is
much
totally Doom.
Wolfenstein, actually.
Wolfenstein.
It's Wolfenstein.
Right.
Yeah, so I think in the mid-90s, they gave the engine to a company and this is the game they made.
It's kind of making me dizzy. I don't like that.
Yeah,
that's games, how the old Wolfensteins were, man.
Yeah, where are the animals at? Come on, man. Feed an animal. You have a slingshot that you fling food at the animals. Oh, you already put that one to sleep. And then the animals fall asleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're looking for a friendlier version, I don't know if you can die in this, apparently, because you have life there.
Hey, Bobby, if we're going to go down rabbit holes, you brought up the religious thing. Mm-hmm. I saw a fighting game where, maybe they weren't religious figures. I think they were scientists. All the famous scientists. It was like, what's the guy in the wheelchair that just died?
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking fighting like Einstein.
Isaac Newton.
2D is he in there? 2D fighter.
Throw apples.
2D fighter.
Historian edition.
They're not historians. They're like scientists. Okay, famous scientists. Okay. Yeah.
It sounds like a web-based game.
And I just saw all their like special moves, and it was awesome. And then I feel like it never came out.
Oh, Darwin versus Pythagoras.
Yeah, so like so he's
wow. He turns into a monkey. Yeah,
Darwin's evolving as he goes.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
They had a game like
pretty
this.
Pretty damn awesome though.
Bible fight where you were all like the religious figures.
And I
they
remember
all had their
us
special,
talking about that.
Yeah, it was like a web based game. That web based games were really popular for a while, like especially the mid-2000s. There's actually a game on Steam on my wish list called Fight of the Gods, where you play as different gods.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, Einstein moves at the speed of light. Okay, got it.
Turing
is...
a robot out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're naming their
new Turing test.
Graphics cards. Yeah. The NVIDIA ones are codenamed Turing.
Oh, here we go. He freezes time? Oh, no, I don't know what he just does.
It's rounded Hawking versus Darwin.
It doesn't look like oh, Stephen Hawking's putting up much of a fight.
No.
No, he hasn't even hit him yet.
The audio on this must be ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel like Stephen Hawking.
What's the name of this so we can say it? Bob?
Should have.
Fighting game, Scientist of the World is...
Scientist of the World.
Science Combat. This is in Spanish.
Yeah, it's like Russian.
I feel like it's not a real game. I feel like they just made some video out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Well, Kotaku's covering it.
Putin Unity and hosted on the same site that ran the original GIFs Brazil's.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't really say. Well, you can find it with that bit of information.
Is that Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah. It looks awesome.
It looks ridiculous.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we have been playing.
Battletech. Finally beat that game.
Good, man.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You put a lot of time
hours?
Into it.
How many hours? Me and Khan, I think I put 73 hours into it, and he put like 68. So he had like five less hours into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this it took a long time, and oh, man, it's fun.
But you loved it.
Yeah.
You loved it the whole time.
I loved it the entire time. Just trying to get my, like, the assault mix. Like, just trying to get the biggest... lance you can get.
So I kind of feel like when this gets a DLC, it's probably already bought, right?
Oh yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Guaranteed, right?
For sure. My favorite build was like once I got my assault mech, the King Crab. I had two AC-20s and a big long range missile like a LRM-20, which are AC-20s are the hardest hitting guns in the game,
uh-huh.
And it's like having a howitzer on your mech.
Yeah.
And I had two of those, and those things are crazy heavy with the LRM-20 long range.
And it's all on
20.
A crab mech.
Yeah, it's all on this King Crab mech. That one right there in the center, it just missed it. But yeah, that thing just hits so hard, it could destroy a heavy mech with one shot if it hit right.
Damn,
it was just ridiculous. How
was it super slow?
It was not really. It wasn't super slow because I had the pilot I had in it actually had like better running speed.
Okay, so like, gotcha. Like, that was his better. Perk.
Yeah.
Look at you covering up your weak spots with your strong stuff.
Yeah, man. It was awesome, man. Just having that finally getting that assault mech just destroyed the battlefield. Like once I got that, I had no problems in this game.
I kind of feel like when you first rolled that on the first mission and you had that mech, I feel like there was a smile on your face.
For sure. Like then after that first mission, I kind of changed it around.
Yeah.
So instead of having like one big long range missile, I gave like six short range missiles and it overheat in one shot, but it did
but
lot of damage.
Yeah,
it did a huge amount of damage, but it was like a one pump jump. That's that was it, man.
So comparing your lance to other people's, do they have a different build, or are they more or less similar
That's a good question.
Tag Loro actually is really good at building lances. He's really good at building mechs. He's definitely been in this game type for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gave me some ideas on how to build a lance, and I build it different from him, but it's no less effective. But he definitely goes really in-depth and, like, just covers all the bases. Like, he has his scouts and
everything. He's been RPGing and tabletop gaming since he was a child with his dad.
For
so
real.
He knows all that stuff, like, deep.
He sat
down and played a card game with me that he had never played and just schooled me, like, three or four in a row. I was like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, mine is definitely more of a brute force gameplay. Like, I just go biggest, baddest assholes in the game and just overrun, and he's definitely more strategic.
So, is that the, like, to even elaborate more on what she was saying, is that the only way to play, or could you possibly win with scouts?
You can't win with pure scouts, obviously.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's more than
one. It's not obvious for me because I haven't played the game that much.
Well, yeah, so,
no, it would be impossible
to win with scouts. Yeah. Yes, because they can die in one hit from just like small fire.
Okay. And so, do you know what Khan used?
I don't think he had, he was going for a king crab. So the way I think I talked about this before, but the way you get mechs in this game is you need to destroy the mech on the battlefield.
Without destroying it completely?
No, right? You can just destroy it completely. Okay. This is different from the previous versions. But you just destroy a mech on the battlefield, and then you get one third of that mech. Once you get all three parts, so you need to go up against that mech three times and destroy it, then you can build that type of
mech. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. In the previous version, it was like if you destroy the cockpit but don't destroy the chassis, then you just get that mech 100%.
It was just so hard.
It was right? So hard, yeah.
Well, can we stop hearing about Battletech for a little bit now?
No.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about it now that you've been in the game? There's a replay value to it.
Honestly, there's probably not much replay value because the story is very linear. You're not going to experience anything new. But I'm just going to continue playing a little bit more just to finish building my lands. I want to get my pilots maxed out. I want to get more mechs and do more missions because this game doesn't end. Like, so you just keep playing.
So the content will just continue generating?
Yeah.
Random generating?
The universe in this game is pretty sizable.
Yeah.
There's probably like 50 places you can land.
I've always thought it was interesting, like, once you beat the game, if people in the game act like you beat the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like in Far Cry 5, the cult's still running around after you beat the game and you crush the cult and you play afterwards. You beat the game, the last guy is dead. Mm-hmm. But the cult's still running around because it'd be boring without him, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
One thing I really liked about beating the game and what they offer you for your second game in Resident Evil 4, you got to keep your ending inventory. So you could play the game through and kind of just bulldoze through it. You'd have a rocket launcher. Like, you weren't intimidated by anything. And it was just like you enjoying
it's
yourself.
It's fun. Yeah, it's
like fun. Resident Evil was kind of known for doing that. Even since like the first one, you could always keep like your inventory.
Which is awesome because it's a hard game.
They have a name for that, for after you beat a game. The content that comes after the game, they call it Game Plus.
I remember Resident Evil 2, if you beat it on like really hard, you can come back as a piece of tofu.
Are you serious?
That only fights only has a knife. That's the only way.
Funny.
And you have to beat the whole game.
I was playing Resident Evil 2, is that the one with not Jill, Claire?
I think it's when Nemesis was introduced.
Yeah,
Claire. With Claire?
Yeah.
I remember the Resident Evil I played with Claire. I was trying to do the knife only run through because you got something special from doing
so
that.
So hard, though.
It's hard, but I was doing it.
You think you could have done it?
I'd never beat the game, but I was getting through the game, yes.
Did you beat 7? I always forget.
Not yet. That's on my list to beat this year. Oh. Yeah.
Please don't bring up a list.
All right, so you guys played Deep Rock Galactic. We brought it up last week.
Yeah.
It was a mining game with dwarves. It seemed like everyone was really excited about it.
We're not going to spend $100 on this, and then we ended up spending... Well, did you buy it, Chief?
I bought it with my own money.
So we ended up spending $75 on it. Mr. Cheapo over here that doesn't use any of his data on his phone, so he doesn't have to pay 1 cent, did not pick it up, but he didn't know that we were getting it.
Oh, that thing's going on. I'll talk about it later, man. I got some shit done this week.
Okay.
Cool. I really, really like this game. I think it's really fun. Who did you play with?
So when I downloaded Deep Rock Galactic, I had intention to play with my little brother, who is also completely new to the game.
Okay.
And when you first go into the game, it puts you through the tutorial.
Right.
It's a little tedious and long, but it, you know, teaches you the mechanics fairly well.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess. On average, the missions will run you anywhere from 20 minutes to 40 minutes.
Right.
When I played the game, my brother, I think he DC'd, so I had to play with a bunch of randoms.
Okay.
Which was really nice, and it was one of the longer missions. And my first mission that I completed was only on like the second hazard, and there's up to four.
Yeah.
So it gets four is the most challenging. Three is a level I'm comfortable with right now, and then two is where I started.
Let me take a step back really quick just to let everybody know what it is before we keep going.
Yeah.
It's a four-player co-op where you're four dwarves, and you're mining, it seems like an asteroid. And so you have your space station, and then you choose your level, and then you go down together, and then you start mining. There's obviously bad guys that don't like you mining, and every once in a while you get warned that a swarm is coming, a la Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's four different classes, and they all have different abilities
and weapons,
and they're pretty varied. I was very happy with how they cover each other and how useful one is to the other one, without like overlap, like you see in a lot of.
And you can actually run maybe four engineers and still do exceedingly well.
Oh yeah,
and versus maybe not having so much of a mix, but everyone in their roles kind of has like the gunners mostly. He's kind of like the security guard, and he's the dude that no matter what should be shooting at something and protecting your ass.
Right.
Whereas the scout, that's a class that I liked. There's a lot of mobility in this game. So, there's a gun where you zip line, and then the scout has a grappling gun. So I can literally Spider-Man through the cave and of course suffer a lot of fall damage if you're bad at it. But
yeah. That's one of the worst things about this. I mean, one of the
most painful things.
Most painful things. Very, well put.
It's very hard to maneuver, but that's what it's like digging into an asteroid in outer space.
Or so you've heard.
And then and then there's the miner class, which is most efficient at mining. These missions,
that
in order to accomplish... You like the dildo arms?
Yeah.
Sorry, they're...
It's so useful. It's so useful.
You mean the Fists of Doom? That's what I call
those
them.
Those things were, man, they're awesome. You're just tearing through walls like they weren't even there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's cool because the monsters vary, and then the minerals that you're looking for, the minerals are collected for the company that you work for. You actually don't really hold on to what you're collecting except for some of the rare items. Yeah. And the rare minerals and gold, you... reserve in your inventory to upgrade your character. You can upgrade both your weapons, armor abilities, and
aesthetics.
Limited aesthetics currently. Yeah.
Like beards.
And this is all beards, all of this. I was telling Minnie over and over how much I'm like, I'm having so much fun right now.
For real.
This is so definitely. Cool.
Yeah.
It's just plain fun. And it's nice working together. And there's a lot of asking for help in this game. But then you're going to reciprocate right back a few minutes later, like, because they need your ability or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, you're really working together to go mine this stuff. And what I really like, too, is it's not like traditional quests, like, go get this or that or that. I mean, you are getting a certain resource. Yeah, you are. But it's not like quest giver... kill three chickens, bring the three chickens back.
Oh,
it's like,
don't. Oh, God. You gotta, salt in the wound. Don't bring that up.
You have a job to do. You have a job to do, and you go do that job. And the guys are talking to each other like they're on a job. Like, oh, this fucking guy, because the boss is yelling at you. And they're just saying,
rock, like, and stone, brother. Rock and stone.
Yeah, they're saying stuff to each other just like to motivate. One guy's like, at some point, he's like, I think we might live through this. And like nothing was really going on at the time, but it was just funny.
The dwarven sense of humor is definitely there. Did you put on the, much appreciated.
Did you use the jukebox?
I did. And he did the lamest dance move. I know the dance moves are randomized and based on the song, but when I put on the jukebox for the first time, first off, I think it was playing country or hard metal or hard rock. And he was doing the retarded Katy Perry arm swing.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
That's the one I did my first
dance. The kid with the stick arms and the backpack. And I'm like, fuck this noise. That's disgusting. Turn it off. But it's, but with this too, there's a lot of replayability. Being that it's procedurally generated, you can up and you can change the difficulty, and depending on the difficulty of the mission and whatnot, you get a semi different experience each and every time.
Yeah, and there's a mix of sometimes there's awe because you're like, whoa, look at the size of this cavern.
Yeah,
or
it's beautiful.
Or sometimes you'll be like, by yourself and not with your friends, and you'll be like, oh shit, let me get back to my friends because it's fucking dark.
Yeah.
You know what I had to do? I didn't have freaking, what'd you call it? Dwarf fist arms, arms. And I didn't know where to go. I kept on going around in a circle. So I ended up having to dig my way back up. And that took a good six minutes with my little pickaxe, just a good 6 minutes of slowly making my way through 100 meters of rock. That was not fun.
Yeah, it takes like 3 hits with a pick to get through a piece of rock.
You can upgrade with those, upgraded mine.
But that, I think that only does damage for enemies. But with your mining hands that you had, like you could just go through a wall in seconds. But
We can't say. Obviously, we're kind of gushing over this game. Yeah. It's fun. It's worth $25.
Well, it's definitely still in early access. There's a lot more content that can be released. For crying out loud, they don't even have female dwarves yet in this game.
I don't think they exist.
There's never been a female dwarf
and
in most things.
There's swarms and larger monsters, but there's not necessarily boss monsters. There's a lot more potential that can be unlocked with this type of game.
Yeah, totally.
But how it is now, yes, I would say it's worth the money, especially since it's a good up to 4-player co-op, multiplayer, drop in, drop out. You could play with strangers and have just as much fun, or you could play with your friends. And an interesting thing about my playthrough, luckily enough, if you stream this on Twitch, a lot of people from the community will come, just drop in, help you out, give you good advice. So the community is amazing. I actually, one of their mods, his name's Dorpheus.
Oh, yeah,
Dorpheus.
I was playing with him.
Yeah, so he probably played with you, too. He goes out and he helps people.
He taught me a lot.
And he's a true dwarf fan. Like, he even has a curator page for it.
Yeah, he's a mod on their Discord.
So it's really, really a great community, and it's so early to jump in and just kind of, you know, appreciate it for where it is now, and I'm sure down the road, when they do release more content for it, you're going to love it even more.
Yeah, for sure. My only fear about this game is that I'm going to get burnt. I'm going to play it so much that I'm going to get burnt out, and then it's going to be 10 times the game next year, and I'm just going to be like,
I see a lot of burnout value. I don't really... It's not on the same replayability value as Left 4 Dead, in my opinion. I can play this, pick it up and play it for maybe an hour or two at a time, but then I'd probably leave it alone until somebody else asked me to play it.
We'll see, but I was like, I think I could play this all day.
Yeah.
It seems like a game that wouldn't be fun if you weren't playing with other people, though.
There is solo options in here.
Do you join up with random people, or do you play solely by yourself?
Both. You have the choice to do either or.
Solo.
It modifies
difficulty.
I think solo might benefit you in regards to learning how to play the classes and collecting gold and materials to potentially level up.
Do you have any questions or interest?
No, it looks very interesting. Yeah. It looks like a great game to... I love games where you have a task to complete and each person has their role to help complete that task. Now, is there in-game comms in this?
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's a really decent bit rate.
It seems like a game like this would really benefit from that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I like about in-game comms, and I don't know if this does it or not, but if someone's talking, you see a little speech bubble above their head.
Yeah, this doesn't have that.
I mean, not only does that let you know who's talking, but it also just makes it feel like that person's actually talking, and you don't have this disembodied voice just speaking out.
Right.
Well, the other thing about that, Bobby, too, though, is like, this game makes you want to feel, if you're 15 yards away from your teamwork, it has a good idea of making you feel alone. So, like, it doesn't show your friends through the walls unless you activate a thing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
it's like a ping.
Yeah. So, like, if somebody was talking to you, they're trying to make it scary from time to time. So, I don't know if, like, somebody talking, if they got highlighted through a wall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would be kind of like, not like you were in a cave. This definitely makes you feel like you're in a cave.
Oh, yeah.
The lighting in this game is really awesome as well.
It had to be, right?
Yeah.
It's like, just what I was saying about the Sea of Thieves. Like, all you see is fucking water and sky, so it has to be pretty. All you see is rocks and crystals, so it's pretty as hell.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the graphics aren't superb, but it's okay. I would definitely give away graphics just so I could have procedurally generated levels. And sometimes it kind of fucked up once, right? We couldn't find the brown spot. We were looking forever, and you know that's what you get with procedural generate. I wouldn't say it was a bug; It was just like very
finding
difficult.
The brown spot.
Yeah. Yeah, the brown spot being the place that's like digs into another cavern.
Yeah.
So once you find the brown, like
it's the back door.
You're trying to dig into someone's brown spot.
It's literally a door. It's a door in the back.
With
the brown spot.
My fist of doom, dude.
All right. Double fisting.
I would say it's a great pickup and play multiplayer game. So worth the price if you're
Bobby,
you going
to drop the 25 buckaroos?
Yeah, I might. I got a lot going on. So.
Okay. Are you down to play today, Emilio? I'm done.
Yeah, Bobby sure. still has to play some Stardew with me. I'll play with you, too.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been itching to play.
Yeah, I wonder, I should...
all four podcasters playing tonight?
What?
Is that going to happen?
No, I'm not going to be home tonight.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Dick.
God damn.
All right, how many people are playing this?
It was weird.
1,400 right now.
Okay.
It was weird when all four of us were in one Twitch channel yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were all watching Bobby.
That was Friday, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was at work. Sometimes when I have a couple moments to lull, I like coming in, but I can't even hear anyone. So I just drop in, say hello.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
I streamed a lot this week. I did exactly what I set out to do. I said I was going to play
Prey,
the 2006 version, and stream it, and I did, and I even beat it this week. Played it all the way through.
Nice.
Not an eight-hour game. So really, let me pull up some
I'm surprised you did.
I enjoyed this game.
You did?
Yeah, it was good. It was so weird to play this game. I recognized so much from other games. This game came out in 2006. They started working on it in 1995.
Damn.
They tried to make the game two times. Didn't work. Third time's a charm. They released the game. Like, I think Tom Hall even worked on this in its
original.
Who is that?
Are you saying?
He was from id Software. He was like the game designer for Commander Keen.
Oh, wow.
Some of the earlier stuff.
Okay. Bobby, are you saying that you saw assets from other games?
Not just assets, but everything looked at. It uses the id Tech 4 engine. So right away, the lighting, the pipes, the
Doom
doorways
3, right?
Felt like Doom 3.
Yeah, it's made by 3D Realms, right?
Yeah, 3D Realms.
Doom 3 to this day is the scariest game I ever played.
Yeah, very scary game.
Yeah.
And then just some things.
Agony.
Like they had these alien doorways that looked like they looked like a sphincter or an epiglottis.
They were definitely vaginas, dude, for sure.
No, those ones are different. Those are the ones that the sand creature, the scorpion guys, come out of. Yeah, those looked like vaginas, but these ones looked a little different, and they're the exact same ones that were in Duke Nukem Forever, another game that was caught in development hell for like a decade, but just like those ones. There was so much about this game that I recognized from other games, but they did some really cool things in it. The whole first-person shooter type thing, give or take, it was all right. It was pretty indicative of every single game that came out around this time. What was really cool was they had portals. This is a year before Portal came out. Prey predates Portal, but it has the same portal puzzles. Like, you go into the portals and you hop out a different side of the room and you have to figure out how to use that to get where you need to go.
Do you have a portal gun or they're static
the portals?
Portals
just appear.
Okay.
Yeah. And also they have these catwalks that you can walk on and gravity doesn't apply when you're walking on the catwalk. So that plus the portals make for a pretty interesting gameplay.
As well as the low gravity, no gravity.
So I imagine
down.
The combination of those two crazy puzzles, maybe some really difficult ones.
Yeah, and I found that more interesting than the whole first-person shooter thing. I mean, the game was pretty linear. You go from room to room, you shoot things up, but then the puzzles made it very interesting. What also made it interesting, and I didn't know if I liked this at first or not, but in the end, I decided I actually really did like it. When you die, typically in most games, you die, you respawn wherever you saved last with the same health and mana that you had at that point in time.
There's no moments where they quick save it for you and then you just reload at the last.
There's saves. There's checkpoint saves.
Oh, okay.
And then you don't have to use them.
No, you can. There's the standard saving system is there. You can quick save. You reach checkpoints and you save there. But what you do when you die is you go to this area. Maybe I don't know if I can see it here.
I've seen it
through
before.
This place.
It's like a mini game, right?
Mm-hmm. You go into this mini game where you're in the spirit world and your body is descending. And while it's descending, before it hits the ground, you have to shoot as many of these little flying bats, red and blue ones, red for health, blue for mana. The more you shoot, the more health and mana you get when you respawn.
Oh, that's epic.
So
let's say you came back and you died again right away. You would go right back into the minigame?
Yeah, so it makes it very easy. You can kind of brute force your way. Say you're in the middle of a boss fight, you die 2 minutes into it, or like a minute into it, and then you just do that minigame, you respawn, you continue the boss fight, you die again, same thing. It just keeps happening. So it takes away from the challenge. You don't have to start over from a boss fight or a real difficult part and try to make it past that. But at the same time, I kind of enjoyed it because when you die in a game, like immediately you're just like, ah, fuck. And you're a little pissed off. But right. then, you know, I was almost soothed by, oh, I get to play this fun little carnival game where I shoot the ducks flying by, you right. know? So I actually did enjoy it.
So almost it changed the entire sentiment of losing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It made dying not so bad. And I really enjoy when they do things like this in game design where they say, you know, like nobody, even a Cherokee with superhuman powers, like if he dies, he doesn't just automatically reappear backwards in time. Like that breaks the, you know, that's ludonarrative dissonance. So what if we just had him go to the spirit world and then he comes back through there? Like, oh, that fits with the story. Suddenly everything works. I'm really impressed when people manage to design a game like that, but yeah. where it works both technically and creatively.
Can we go back to that word ludonarrative dissonance?
Yeah.
And what that means?
I'm even more surprised that you were able to reiterate what he said.
No, that's
who's the smoke show? Do you get to bang her at some point?
The bartender. No,
do you want me to spoil that for you or nah?
Oh yeah, dude, I'm not gonna play this.
Yeah, it's like okay. 20-year-old game.
Bartenders always die. They're the first to die.
That's the girl that like you really like. You want to get off the reservation with her. But she wants to stay on the reservation. You want to go. Everyone gets abducted by aliens. The game begins. You use your special Cherokee powers to destroy the aliens. She ends up getting turned into one of the aliens. You find out that they are. They basically planted humans like seeds on Earth, and now they're coming back to harvest them to eat them. And then the special strong ones that have like really heightened awareness, like these Cherokees. Special power, the Cherokee, they absorb those ones and they become part of the alien hive mind themselves.
And so she did.
They try to do that to her, and you have to kill her, and then they try to do that to you. So it's the whole thing at the end where like you should join us, you don't have to kill us, and you're like, nah, fuck you, I'm the good guy here, so you blow everything up.
So were you right about the whole? No, you were wrong then. Right?
About the vision quest? Yeah. It was not a vision quest. Okay. No, we were wrong.
So they were trying to guess what the store plot was going to be.
Yeah.
And she's like pressuring him to get married with her. And next thing you know, he's on an alien quest. So he was thinking that like he was just making it up all in his mind, right? Just to get out of marrying this chick.
Yeah. Well, he was going to come to a realization and realize, oh.
Whoa, bar fight.
Yeah, this is how the game starts out.
That's got
to
be
so fun. Again. That word?
Ludonarrative dissonance. You're going to have to look that up and do some research. So basically, that's when the frame narrative of a game conflicts with the player's narrative of it. So, I don't know. Let me think of a good example here, a simple one. So a game that allows you, like you're a soldier, you have comrades. Mm-hmm. If the game allows you to shoot them and kill them, that breaks the frame narrative of you being the good guy on his mission to rescue the helpless or do right. whatever. Like your actions, like you killing innocent people or your teammates conflicts with this narrative, the story that they've set up.
Okay.
Would Divinity be a good example of that?
Divinity?
Since you can go in there and virtually kill anybody and disrupt the narrative.
But you're supposed to be like the hero of time.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be a good example. I honestly didn't pay much attention to the story. So
did you kill any innocents, Bobby? Or did you just go through this?
I mean, maybe people I didn't like.
Like some, clean cut?
I think there's always going to be an innocent or two.
You let the cheese vendor live. Yeah. That was
so when
it.
I first played the game, this part too, right here, where they're getting dragged around on this rail system.
This reminded is like
me
Quake
so much
4.
Of, yeah, reminded me so much of Quake 4 right here. So just so many parts of this game reminded me of other games. But overall, for 2006, I was actually impressed with what this game did at that time. And it only took about 8 hours to get through the entire thing. Not very long. As soon as I beat this, I was asking people in the stream, hey, what's my next game? It's either going to be Fear 2 or Far Cry 2. And Far Cry 2 was the call. So I started playing that one.
Fear 2 is awesome, by the way.
I played Fear 1 like two or three times through, and I've started Fear 2, but never completed it. And I've always been meaning to go back and do that, but you forget about that series. Yeah. You forget so quickly about those games.
No, yeah. Fear 1 is one of my favorite first person shooters. It's awesome for
they were very staple when they did come out because there wasn't. I mean, this is like shortly after Half-Life and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
These were the FPS is that people were playing because there weren't too many options in regards to first person shooters with strong storylines.
Yeah. All right. So Prey 2006 knocked it out. Going to be streaming Far Cry 2 this week. That's the plan at least. Sea of Thieves, that's Emilio.
I think everything else is Emilio.
Sea of Thieves is me, too, actually. I listened to Emilio's advice. Mm-hmm. He had been inviting me to play Sea of Thieves with him. and it's free. So as long as you get the Xbox Game Pass and opt in for the 14-day trial. So Sea of Thieves, my first attempt at playing, Emilio, I think, changed his mind and ended up not being able to play with me. So as I was playing with one of my friends who had never played Sea of Thieves before either. So when you join the game, you show up in a bar. There's no real context, no real introduction to it. You are thrown to the wolves, really. It's open world from the get-go. So you have to go out and virtually talk to everybody. And you start with a quest, but for some reason I ended up losing my quest. I don't know how. And okay. I was sailing the seven seas with absolutely no direction whatsoever, not enjoying myself. What is that?
Shots of mezcal.
Ooh, tequila shot?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I'll take one. Anyways, when it comes to Sea of Thieves, my initial playthrough, I was kind of learning on my own, you know, picking up stuff, finding out, you know, how to load a cannon, how to drive, navigate with the ship, but without any purpose and without people who are experienced in the game, it was really hard to just pull at everything and have it make sense for a playthrough.
You need 100%. You need somebody to walk you through this.
Yeah,
game.
It was 100%. It was not fun because I played my first attempt at playing it. I played for at least an hour and a half, and I'm like, what the fuck am I even doing? And it's not because I felt lost. It's because I honestly felt like there was no purpose whatsoever with my character. And then after not enjoying it the first time, what I did later was finally hop in with Emilio and Pharaoh Steve, and they got me going. They set me up with a couple of quests. We had a well-equipped ship, a well-driven ship, and we were going to the PvP area. So we were looking to complete my first mission and maybe pick a fight or two. And did we end up finding someone?
No. Well, so unfortunately for Chi, like even after we were there, and like you never know what you're going to get in this game, and that's what's like the beauty of these games, and also it's the curse and a blessing, because you never know what you're going to get, and sometimes you just get boring shit. Chi got catch chickens, and then we decided to go to the PvP area.
Against the wind,
the entire time we could not be going slower.
How's your Forrest Gump accent?
Huh?
Can you do a Forrest Gump or impersonation?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
Am I almost there?
No, just because you say you never know what you're going to get, and I wanted you to do the box of chocolate thing.
Hey, Janai.
I think everybody starts out with a chicken quest.
I'd never had one. Oh. Or maybe I talked to the wrong thing.
Here's the thing. Different people offer different types of quests. There's looting quests, factions. Treasure hunting, and then chicken catching. Chicken chaser. That was me.
Chicken chaser.
Yeah.
The fable one.
Chasing chickens. But anyways, and then nothing really happened when Emilio played with me, but luckily enough, Sergeant Taco came through.
Oh, yeah.
And he introduced me to different people who had better quests, treasure hunting quests, and I went on a couple of them. I actually completed three, but here's the bullshit thing. I completed three. I had all the loot in my ship, and then somebody was attacking my ship while I was on an island. So they killed my teammate, and then when I came back to avenge him, I think I killed one person, but they ended up sinking our ship and then killing me.
Well,
and it sucked because one thing I really hate, the realism in this game, the fact that the compass isn't a part of the UI, the fact that you can only have six bullets at a time.
Yeah.
And when you do die, it's not as punishing because you're just spit back back into the game after, a 20-second wait queue?
Something like that, yeah.
And so the combat, to me, doesn't feel very rewarding at all. And
well, we lost.
Well, yeah, of course we lost. But at the same time, we were shooting a ship, too. That was pretty fun.
I was going to say, we were so bored, but I feel really bad for Chi because it was just bad luck. A bunch of bad shit happened, and it was just a boring time. And so as soon as we saw a ship, she's like, ram it. And so we just went after it, and then there was two ships. We took two ships on at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fun. It was time to something to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But then here's the thing. I feel like the combat, it's so elementary. It just doesn't make it as rewarding, even provoking.
The combat isn't a focus of this game. It's
unfortunately, I think it can be if you want it to be, though. Sorry.
You could just be a pirate hunting ship if you want to be.
This is what happened. The last fight that I got in was the one where I lost all of my quest items because I killed one of his friends, and then the other guy ran out of bullets, so I couldn't really do anything. And so it was a sword fight, and then in between the sword fight, he was eating bananas and healing himself. Yeah. So it was basically hacking and slashing each other, running away, eating bananas, coming back, hacking and slashing each other. I'm like, is this really a fight?
Yeah, that didn't sound really
fun. This is ridiculous. And so in the end, you know, I...
Well, how you prevent that is you actually kill them with your bullets.
But I ran out of bullets. You only have six.
Right.
So if you waste four...
Don't waste four. Kill them.
What happened was on the boat, but that you have to run all the way back to the boat. I was on an island for a kill quest. Yeah. So I was using the bullets on the monsters on the island.
Oh, gotcha.
So by the time I was fighting these guys, I was already empty and it was just asking to die. And I was like, this is not, you know, I'm not going to, it's like run back to the ship, get six bullets, come back to combat. No way, sir.
Remember Taco when he was like, he was congratulating Pharaoh. He's like, was it Pharaoh Steve? It was Pharaoh Steve, right?
Yes, yeah. The captain's
when cloak. He goes, that was a god level move because Pharaoh fucking got on her. What's the piece of wood that sticks out the front? It's not the mast.
I think that is the mast, isn't it?
No, the mast is the one that goes straight up. Oh. Anyway, you guys, everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's that piece of wood that goes straight out.
Yeah, sometimes, it's like a mermaid.
Sometimes it's a mermaid. Yeah. So he ran across that thing when we rammed them, jumped on their boat, and dropped their anchor. So their boat got stopped in the water, dead in the water, and we got some hits in, but we were taking shots from all angles.
It was fun, but not for money. I would never buy this game. Mm. It was nice trying it out, but I would never invest
more time or more money. What's nice, though, is your 14 days is going to bleed into the other game.
State of Decay.
So I'll check that out.
Uh-huh.
I will check that out with you.
I think you got to try one more time with this one. Did you delete it?
No, I did not delete it.
Nice.
Oh, you
gonna do that?
So very nice. Thank you so much. There you go. This is so badass.
We just got some mezcal from Tijuana.
And what's so great is that
not Tijuana, from Mexico City.
And oranges and cinnamon. That's how I like it, as a back instead of salt and lime.
I guess we got to wait for Minnie. I don't know what's going on. So what's next?
Ruiner.
I actually played this. I've been playing this for 2 weeks now. And can you close that door? Thanks. I freaking love this game. It's a twin stick shooter. And every once in a while, you get one of these games where the music, the graphics, and the action just complement each other so well that it elevates the whole thing past what it should have been. Like, a twin-stick shooter can only be so good. But then the music is fantastic, and it's the same style as the graphics, which is the same style as the action.
Looks amazing. Looks amazing.
Yeah, it all just comes together.
It all just meshes so well. It's rare that a game pulls those three things together.
I can't remember what it is, but when...
Synchronicity?
maybe it's like synergy. Synergy. When something's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. And so somebody better give us some goddamn, what are those called? Points? Gems? What are you, tip?
Bits.
Bits.
We're taking some shots for bits. Or we're going to do it either way. Cheers.
Either way. Cheers, guys.
To DLG. Sorry,
to,
Bobby.
To mezcal. Yeah?
To drinking again.
Yeah, mezcal.
Ooh.
I'm not going to tell you guys what that red
stuff is. Just hear all the mouth noises. Yeah. Mike.
I'm not going to tell you guys what that red stuff is on that orange.
Oh, we know. She already told us.
Was it tahini? I thought it was cinnamon.
No, it's cricket tahini.
It's ants.
Mm. Ant tahini.
Yeah, made of ants. She doesn't care.
I don't care.
I do.
I don't know if you guys have been, how long you've been listening, but I really loved Mr. Shifty. It was a game much very similar to this, but with a comic book feel to it and less cyberpunky. But this takes that and... Oh, shit. this takes that and then takes it to the next level. It adds a bunch of stuff. There's a tech tree. There's different builds you can do. I went down a melee build, which I don't think the game really wants you to do, but I'm just trying to make it work, and I'm making it work. And so
you did a melee build, right?
Yeah. And I don't think that's the game wants you to have that as a viable
build. Is there co-op to this?
No,
I don't think so.
Oh, unfortunately, because
I don't think it needs to be. It's just such a pleasurable experience. Every time I sit down and play this game, I'm loving it. So I was in the city part of this, right? So think of what's the movie with Decker in it about the fucking the robots that are not people?
Blade Runner? Or
Blade Runner, yeah. Think of Blade Runner. It's very Blade Runner when you're in the city, cyberpunk. And the city and the is so beautiful. Even though I got all my quests, I was just walking around looking at every little corner. I could not get enough of this game. It was fucking awesome. It was on sale when Devolver Digital, that's who published it. Still one of my favorite publishers, if not my favorite publisher. Anyway, I don't know what more to say. I mean, I have a rave review for this game.
The skills are really awesome. How they have like a parry mechanic, dodge, block, and a dash. Like everything just works so perfectly.
Yeah.
When was this game released?
I'm not sure.
2016, I believe. Maybe 17.
And you really, really feel like a fucking badass because you have that shifting mechanic, and you can kind of freeze time a little bit. And so even though chaos is all around you, fire, mayhem, exploding kamikaze guys.
Blood, so much blood.
So much blood. All kinds of shit going on. Exploding barrels, all this stuff. You can kind of manage it through its controlled chaos is what the melee is. It's fucking fantastic. I love this game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's $10 for Ruiner on the Humble Store.
Oh, okay.
Right now. But yeah, on Steam it is $19.99. It's like it's been part of a bundle.
I got it for $10 when they had their Devolver Digital.
$10 seems like a fair price, but it is a gorgeous game. And considering how much fun you've had with it, maybe $19.99.
And your character, it's funny. I think you're a human. Not sure, but
it doesn't. Yeah, maybe
you don't talk, and they took a. It's a funny way of doing that whole silent protagonist thing because your face is a display. And so it'll say things. It'll read things when you feel that. So usually it says kill kind of like you.
Zero from Borderlands.
Yeah,
it'll just like that. Zero yeah. pop up. Yeah, uh-huh. It was just a zero, but didn't he have like a smiley face?
He had a smiley face sometimes? And he had like the heart and he would just like emote different like emoticons,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, that's basically what he does.
But yeah, he's basically a millennial who could only convey his emotions through emojis.
At least he had emotions.
Waconius, I would say he's asking what's better, Enter the Gungeon or Ruiner. Oh, man. Enter the Gungeon was prohibitively difficult.
Well, Enter the Gungeon was a roguelike.
Yeah, it's a roguelike shooter.
And this is not. Still
twin stick shooters.
Yeah.
If you were going to compare one.
This is like story driven, or not really driven, but it has a light story in it.
It's tough. If you're going to play co-op, obviously you can do that in Enter the Gungeon. You can't do it here. As a single player experience, this is much, much better. I'm actually progressing through the game, even though it is very difficult. You can use your. If I had one complaint, is when you die, sometimes, let's say, before the fight, you have to select a weapon or whatever. It doesn't have that Hotline Miami-esque, like, you just push the button and you immediately reload the level. You know what I'm talking about?
So
you can play it 75 times in about 76 minutes.
Yeah.
But this has this, like, a little bit of 7 seconds of. Before you get to the fight, that really makes you not want to restart and try again. But I do.
Anyway. I remember you, so you having have one make, hell of a time at a boss.
Man. You have to make it count when it comes to the combat.
Yeah. I mean, there was one boss that I died something like 39 times or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is a hard game for
that
sure.
That sounds like my experience with God of War right now.
So you were watching me play this?
Yeah.
It looks badass, right?
I played it as well, a little bit, okay. Very little bit. Like, not more than an hour, but yeah, it's you it looks like a watching music you playing it. Yeah, look at that. Definitely.
Yeah.
But watching cool. You play it, yeah, it made me want to play it more.
Yeah, it's great.
Hmm.
Video games.
Bobby.
All right.
Fun, you say.
We should do a podcast where we all pretend to be each other. Yeah. Can you imagine Bobby trying to be anything like me?
I could be G. I need a coffee. Not too hot, not too cold. My seat is too high, but not too low. There's a draft in here, but I don't want it to be hot. But
can you turn
not
off
cold.
The light? Yeah. Very
too,
demanding.
Too many lights. That one, back it up. Get it back over here.
Many left, scoot right, center. Further away. I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
Wow. So, I did a spit take on that.
So, Minnie, you saw Deadpool 2 this weekend.
Deadpool 2.
No spoilers, please. Oh, I'm so jealous you got to see this. I wanted to see it opening night, but I did not.
I didn't see it opening night. I saw it yesterday. I've been a huge fan of Deadpool for over a decade now. I've had his comics and stuff. So,
when I see Deadpool, I kind of think of you. That's a compliment.
Oh, yeah. That's,
because I know how obsessed you are with him. So.
that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any trailers for this movie, like, the entirety. I went in this game, or this movie, completely blind. Like, I had no idea who the bad guy was.
You did know Cable was in it, at least.
I did know Cable was in it. But that was about it. And, like, beyond that, the only thing I knew about
Asian
this,
chick. I didn't know she was... Yeah, character. I'm blind to you right now.
I don't know who she is in a superhero name. Anyway.
That's Shatterstar. Sorry, go ahead.
Terry Crews is in this movie. That's the only thing I knew about this movie going in. Like, I just knew Cable and Terry Crews is in it. And without giving any spoilers, like, this movie is awesome. Like, it portrayed Deadpool really well. Like, Deadpool has very differing personas depending on who the writer is. Mm-hmm. And this is his more funny persona.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And yeah, it definitely works well in movie form.
Well, it's the same persona as the first movie, right?
Yeah.
But I hear it's even better than the first movie. Is that correct?
Definitely. Because the first movie was more of like an origin story, who he is, how he got to where he was. And this one, they were able to expand on his character and really show you like what he's about. And he's not just some psycho.
How did you like the opening scene?
The what?
The opening scene was really fun for me for the first Deadpool.
Yeah.
So did they match the intensity of the first Deadpool's
They didn't really
scene?
Have that scene. Like, it was a little bit shorter, but it was a lot funnier.
Oh, so funnier. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I will accept
I saw that scene. It's hilarious. Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't see any preview. So when I saw this scene, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, he's getting shot.
He's acting like he's deflecting bullets with his swords, but he's actually just taking every hit.
No laugh from Bobby. He's like, I don't know. Does not compute.
I cannot wait to watch Deadpool. And by next week, I'll probably be able to join you on the
Why
Deadpool
Why is getting shot
wagon.
Funny? This seems counterproductive.
No, Deadpool is my movie-versary with my boyfriend. It's the first movie we ever saw together.
Oh, it's called... Mm-hmm. That's really awesome.
So, and it's so funny because the way the first Deadpool was, it was, I don't know. So I'm really excited to watch the second one.
I was a little disappointed with the
might even watch it tonight.
Here
comes the cynic.
Antagonist they had. Antagonist, okay. Yeah, the antagonist. Because like in the X-Men movies, they always have like a really well-known like Magneto. He's just like some big, like everybody knows who Magneto is. But mm-hmm. This one's like, I know the Marvel Universe, and I barely knew who the antagonist was.
Well, if you didn't know him, did he at least play his role well?
Yeah, the role was done well.
Okay.
But it's just like, can we get somebody
while
we know?
While they're running out, dude, because like so much shit's happening in the Marvel Universe now.
Yeah, they could definitely have, like, there's a lot more powerful and well-known.
So is this Disney or is this Fox?
Fox? Yeah, it's Fox. Wow. Wait. Yeah, Fox. It's Fox.
It's pretty rare that Fox does anything good.
Right.
I'm so over Fox. All right. Cool.
Good movie. Go see it.
All right. Let's talk about some news.
Moving on.
Let's go on a triple date. Bobby, bring out your girlfriend. You bring Sam. Let's go to the movies.
That's so not going to happen, dude.
Whoa. Where am I in that?
Well, you already saw the movie.
Fuck Minnie.
And your girlfriend's in, like, you know, bumfuck Burbank. Listen,
if we go to the movie theaters, the projector that he needs to display his woman... is going to fuck up all the lighting in there. It's just not going to work.
Bobby is like, I'm sorry. I don't like massages because I don't like being touched. Therefore.
Botons will have force.
All right. Shoot enough on Bobby.
All right. News. Osic shuts down. So
oh, man.
You may remember them from about a year ago.
We interviewed them.
Yeah. About two Aprils ago. We went over to their offices. They were located in San Diego.
Very nice office building.
Yeah. Right there downtown, and we checked out. their headphones that they were working on.
And they worked extremely well.
They were going for like a 3D feel, right?
3D audio with the virtual, with the, they wanted their headsets to complement the virtual reality.
Right. So you phenomenon. Could really, really detect what direction things are going.
Absolutely.
Taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Right.
So catering to another sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened here. Do you know, Bobby?
Yeah. So they were able, I read their letter here to the people explaining what was going on, or a letter to the backers on Kickstarter explaining what was happening and why they were shutting down. They talked a lot about why in there, but basically it's kind of what I thought it was. 3D did not really take off all that much. These types of headphones.
You mean VR?
Or VR. Yeah. These types of headphones work really well with VR, but outside of that, I mean, they're just a great pair of headphones, but you're not going to pay $200-$300 for a great pair of headphones.
I paid $350 for mine pre-tax.
How much?
My Bose headphones.
Oh, your Bose.
My Bose wireless headphones, $350 before tax. And keep in mind,
I think I spent $400 on my Bose speakers.
Keep in mind, I've spent zero of DLG money.
So maybe
zero.
Who knows?
Yeah, listen, but I mean, everybody.
If anything,
Bose.
I'm in the hole.
What's up, Noober?
Everybody knows the quality of Bose, and that's a, you know, a household name. So, you know, that's obviously going to push my buttons, huh? There we go. So everyone knows that, but OSIC is kind of new to the game, so it's a little bit harder for them to make their mark. And this was really tied in with the success of VR, and however well VR did kind of determined how well they were going to do. And because there wasn't as huge of a market as some people were expecting, I think it just didn't really take off. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to start up a company like this. So
that's heartbreaking. But they had over 10,000 backers pledge close to $3 million on this project. It was a good pair of headphones.
Yeah.
Like outside of the 3D element, I think the quality
was
there.
It's also a difficult thing to market too. I mean, how do you market 3D audio to somebody? They have to hear it. That's the only way.
It's very niche. It's very niche. But outside of them marketing just the headphones, they were almost, from what I recall from interviewing them and meeting with them, they wanted to really become kind of a community market as well. They wanted to host our show in their offices.
Yeah, they were trying
that?
A lot of stuff. They were doing the right things. Who knows?
They were doing a lot of different
business
things.
Business is
community
super
outreach.
Hard. If it wasn't, everybody had a company.
All right. I'm probably grossing out Bobby to like no shit right now. I feel so bad. I tried to get paper towels for Minnie, but my henna is peeling like no other because it's on its last hour and it's all over my lap like chocolate sprinkles. And I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Bobby. I even apologize.
Right. Didn't we used to have a trash can in here?
Yeah,
we should. Give me your cup, Amelia.
So I remember listening to your episode on this about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I was very, what's the word?
Skeptical.
Skeptical, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect word. Because it just like seems like 3D audio is, like, I've heard a lot of other companies, a lot of gaming companies, especially like Logitech and things like that, Razer, they want to, they give you like this virtual surround sound, and virtual surround sound is just like, it's bad. It's like a really bad gimmick that it doesn't work. Like, because it has two drivers, just one on each side, and they're trying to do like a virtual surround sound with two speakers,
right?
Which can't happen.
Or a series of speakers in each.
Sometimes they'll have like a...
Well, that's what my Bose does, the Companion 5 or whatever I have. It's 5.1 surround out of two speakers and a subwoofer. So
yeah, which isn't,
it tries to mimic it, but
well, that is that's a 4.1, I guess. But yeah,
it's only two speakers. There's a left and a right, and then a subwoofer.
Well, the other problem I see that going in with their business plan. Well, I mean, they took a shot and they didn't know which way the market was going to go. If VR blew up, they'd probably still be here.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is the VR headsets are coming with speakers now, integrated.
The fact that you say VR didn't blow up, I think VR blew up just enough to keep it an ongoing market.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think VR has so much potential still and is doing a lot of things right. And
I totally
appeals
agree.
To a market in a lot of different levels. I feel like OSIC, if anything, it should have marketed itself as something that was a necessity with VR. Are you fully immersed if you don't have the audio that complements the visual?
Well, shit. I gotta stop playing with that. There we go. We gotta figure that out, Bobby.
Yeah.
Maybe we gotta return it, huh? Yeah.
Well, if you stop spilling whiskey on your microphone, it might work right.
Was it my fault?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm an alcoholic. It's a disease, G.
All right, next up from PC Gamer.
Am I there? Okay, cool. I want to say one thing on audio. Mm-hmm. I know it's a meme right now, and it's just stupid. Everybody's talking about it, but what did all you guys hear? Did you guys hear Laurel or Yanni?
Laurel.
Yeah, me too.
For what? I've seen the memes, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you remember that, like...
The dress,
the blue dress.
Blue dress, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. For me, it was gold. But
For me, it was blue.
Yeah. So now there's an audio...
For Eyes at Work, it's
where
blue.
Everybody's listening to it and hearing one or two the other.
Yanni or Laurel.
Yeah.
Which really? Is
yeah.
They, I saw really one where they changed the tone.
I'll have to listen and I'll tell you.
I heard like part of the other one.
Oh, same yeah, audio. Same here. Yeah, I heard a different audio.
Oh, no, I've heard of it. I haven't really listened to it. Oh,
okay.
I'm get caught up in that stuff.
So, the guy you guys just saw, Christian.
Did you see blue or gold, Bobby?
He's hilarious. I can't remember. I was like, do you hear Yanni or Laurel? He's like, I can switch back and forth at will.
Who said that?
Like a superpower.
Yeah, Christian.
You pretty much hear what you want to hear. I mean, that's
No, that's not what it is.
I don't know.
Some people hear higher frequencies than others. And the older you get, the less higher frequencies you can hear. So if you're older, you usually hear Laurel. And then if you're young and females can hear the higher better, and they usually hear Yanni.
Blue or gold, Bobby, what do you see?
No, it looks blue to me.
Yeah, it's hella fucking blue, right?
I see that gold.
You see gold?
I see golden white.
Fucking Minnie.
Blue right now.
Yeah, everyone but Minnie.
Colorblind test.
Why do you have to say it like that? Everybody but Minnie.
You know, I totally harp on you all the time. Even on my stream, he like came by my stream for like 20 seconds tops. Got like fucking ripped. And
do you remember
like,
what you
left.
Said?
I don't remember.
God, and you look at me like when you say things.
Yeah.
Like you hate me.
A face.
God, yeah. It was like she had to get my name.
Am I going to have to separate you two?
Because I wish you were somebody else, Minnie.
She had to get my name out of her mouth as fast as possible.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Jeez.
By someone else, she means she wishes I was her boyfriend.
I shit on you for comedy. God. She does it out of hate and spite. Right? Piss, vinegar.
Yes, she's trying to spit my name out of her mouth.
Minnie.
So what happened?
She makes Minnie sound even smaller than it is.
I wouldn't buy
micro,
what do you think of that?
Micro Minnie. Micro Del Macho.
I went by her stream, and she was like, oh, hey, Minnie, you said something, I don't know, you're cute.
Hey, Micro.
He's a cute little Mexican boy, but not my type. Like, why did you even need to say not my type? It's like as if Max was like right looking at you. It's like, oh, yeah, you call somebody else cute? Yeah, you had to put that qualifier on it or something.
Basically,
I do like that about streams. She'll explain to everybody, like if somebody pops in and starts talking, she'll be like, oh, this is my friend from Florida that stole a motorbike one day or something like that.
Yeah, but mine was just negative.
I've had friends that have stolen my car, yeah. And we're still friends to this day.
They're not called friends. Those are called Mexicans.
No, she's Filipino. She's crazy.
Filipinos are just the Mexicans of Asia.
That's what I've always said.
That's my line. Yeah. Anyways, Bobby.
Bobby,
put this boat back together.
On a sentimental note, Heartfelt Adventure Game To the Moon is becoming a feature-length animated film.
Oh, cool.
So they released a video on this from the original creator, and he was talking at length about this, really talking about kind of thanking people for the support and the popularity of this game. I mean, not a huge game, but... A lot of people know about this, and everyone who's played it really admires it.
I cried like a little girl. Yeah, did you play it, G?
Not yet. Maybe I'll play it next.
I want you to play it.
It's very short, too. You can get to it through it very quickly.
Yeah, like 5 hours, I don't say. Yeah.
You played it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you cry?
Yep.
It makes you cry.
Great. That's what you want out of a game.
Yeah. Sometimes emotional.
But he was talking a little bit. A part that struck me was when he was saying that there might be some changes to this when it becomes a feature-length film, just because of the differences in the medium between video games and movies. There's going to be some changes that need to be made, but I'm sure it'll be the same spirit as the game.
Bobby, this is the dev right here talking?
The original creator.
I was just wondering, did it come from another language and then it got translated into English, or was it always...
I don't know. I didn't play this game.
Does he speak English?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Does he speak the English? Oh my goodness, Amelia.
I mean, he looks like a Japanese man, and he doesn't have an accent, so
okay.
I think he's American.
Because I only say this first because off, it had some. It felt Japanese to me.
Yeah, I get that impression from just looking at screenshots and videos.
It was definitely a Japanese studio, according and. But then his name seems Chinese, Kang Gao, or is it Japanese?
We'll figure it out. Doesn't matter. But we won't. All right, moving
all
on.
All right,
that's cool though. I'm glad.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I'm glad that multiple.
I'd play it and then I'd watch it. It's one of those things where, like, you need to read the book before watching the movie.
Yeah.
I would definitely play the game before watching the movie.
But I'm, because this is such a touching story, I'm glad that it's going to get to non-gamers as well. You know? It'll get, it's a story that should be told to everybody. It's that touching, so. Yachi, please play this. I'm gonna
I will.
You about this.
I'll cry.
Yeah.
I'll cry for my, my eyeballs.
All right. this is a little interesting bit of news here. EVGA kicks motherboard drivers to the curb. I'm just reading the title here, folks. That's not my vernacular. EVGA kicks motherboard drivers to the curb, replaces them with flash drives. So instead of getting that CD or DVD, probably a CD, with your video card that has the drivers on it, instead you'll get this little tiny flash drive, 8 gigs, that has the drivers in them, which is pretty much saying, like, hey, we know optical media is kind of dead by this point, especially people that are spending hundreds of dollars on graphics cards. You're probably not concerned with optical media or DVD players. We're going to just put them on USB drives. Interesting little tidbit about this. It was announced on Twitter by Jacob Freeman, another person who we interviewed on this podcast.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
By the way, when's our next?
Yeah.
When's our next developer interview? I'm looking at you, Emilio.
I have not worked at all.
Anyone that complains that we don't have enough eye contact when we stream?
All my energy goes into making this thing entertaining while we're here. The entire week, I just
Wait a second. That's 70% alcohol, 30% energy.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I really want to get somebody from Deep Rock. That'd be great. I have some suggestions for them, too.
We have the connection, so at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's cool. I wonder if other people are going to follow suit. So this has to do, actually, not necessarily with their graphics cards, but with their motherboards. The motherboards are going to come with these flash drives.
Well, it's also the price of flash drives have plummeted. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, they're very cheap.
I mean...
And these are very cheap. If you look at the back of them, what do they call them? Pico flash drives. I've seen these before. They do a lot of promotional material with these too at like conventions and stuff.
It's okay. It's fine. He's gonna.
Yeah, it's just the other garage door.
Yeah.
They're very flimsy, very cheap. Like they'd probably break if you just put a little bit of pressure on them. These are not very durable. They feel disposable. They feel like disposable flash drives. But either way, it's better than a DVD. I hate hanging on to DVDs. I don't even have a DVD player in my computer anymore, or CD, or ROM. So, and I think a lot of people are like that as well. They don't put them in like Macs anymore.
You guys heard my rant about like how? What do you think this cost them, Bobby?
What
per unit? Probably like 20 cents per unit or something, right?
To put
just that one flash drive.
I have no idea.
Anyway. When I bought that network adapter and we needed the internet to make the internet work, remember how upset I was about that?
Yeah.
If they could just put this in there, I would pay easily $5 more and they could make so much more if I could just use the thing to use the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you absolutely need that for something like a network adapter, even a motherboard, which has an Ethernet port on it. I mean, obviously you can't plug it in and... Unless, I don't know, Windows 10 is pretty good about finding drivers or already having drivers, but, you know, usually you have to provide that.
Were my complaints unfounded on that, you think?
No, I think that's a totally acceptable complaint. I was very surprised they did that. You never see people do that.
No.
Unless it's like some weird Chinese company selling you like refurbished shit. All right. Guess that's it for news. I'm going to talk a little bit about hardware here. I did finally get a new mouse. Immediately after I got this mouse, like a day after, they announced the new version of this.
Oh, my goodness.
The Logitech G305.
Tell me you got a discount, a good discounted price
before
that. I paid
like $43 for this mouse.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, this mouse is the Logitech G Pro.
I'm surprised you didn't buy two mice.
Why would I buy two mice?
To see if you love one or the other.
And then return the other one. Sounds like an Emilio move.
I don't like returning stuff. I find it very It's such a hassle to return things.
I'm sad you didn't go with the Zowie. I'm Team Zowie over here, so.
So, yeah. Bobby, did you get to claw this thing before you actually bought it?
No.
So.
No. You just went off of.
Off of reviews and whatnot.
Yeah, I watched so many videos on Rocket Jump. I hate this keyboard so much right now. Like, I'm trying to copy and paste.
I couldn't even type last night. I was trying to type.
Yeah, it's. We got
to
get another
set. Bobby, why don't you just drag the tab to the top?
I don't know if it might show that. If I drag it into.
It's the same window.
If the mouse will work.
If the mouse will work. The mouse will work.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me right now?
I love the irony.
Use your imagination, people.
I love the irony that the mouse isn't working while we're talking about mice.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Logitech G Pro is the mouse that I bought. Very small, very light, very simple mouse. I had to turn off the LED lighting, though. Not really into that.
Why?
It feels.
Why so much work over $42? I guess it's not about the $42. It's about the feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you use this thing
you're
so
paying for
much.
The Logitech brand, the software. I mean, right. Logitech make fantastic mice. They really do.
They
especially
do.
The gaming mice.
Did you use their little suite that they have? Their little.
And keyboards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to use that to turn off the lights and adjust my DPI settings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And did you set up multiple.
Profiles? No, I just got the DPI setting either set to, I can click back and forth between 2000 and 2500 DPI.
There's only two settings?
You can set it up to five.
Oh, okay.
I just have to.
You're going to need more than two, dude.
No.
Okay.
I only use two.
There's shooting games. There's RTSs. There's web.
You need different
web
DPI
browsing.
Settings for all those?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
No. Wow.
So one weird thing about the G Pro,
next level.
It doesn't show you which DPI setting you're on. So you just kind of have to
do
guess.
You have to
unless you have the software
open. Up the
open.
Software. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can open up the software and look, but do I want to open up the software
is
every time I switch
my DPI? Is there on the fly DPI switching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a button on the mouse that lets you do it. So I don't, depending on the game that I'm playing, the only time I ever switch DPI when I'm playing games is if it's a really old game. They handle differently than the newer ones. Mm-hmm. Like Bioshock, when we played that, like you move your mouse and the thing just goes whoosh.
Yeah.
If you have a high-resolution monitor, you need to adjust your DPI according to that. So I think back then, the old games are like, nobody's ever going to run anything higher than,
720.
Yeah, 720p. Let's not be ridiculous here. But this mouse, it definitely took a little getting used to, and I knew it would. It is so much lighter that I had to lower. I used to play on 3,000 DPI.
There's no pre-built weights because Logitech, weren't they one of the first people to come out with weights for mice?
There are some mice where you can get weights, but the whole selling point of this is that it's light. Like you're paying for the lightness of it. I want to say it's around 90 grams or something that.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the, if that was your concern, I'm surprised you didn't go with their, Chaos Spectrum G900, which is their lightest mouse, the $115, $110 mouse, the one that I had.
Is it?
That's their lightest mouse.
I don't know if it'd be lighter than this one.
From what I read, they had shaved plastic off of this thing to make it even lighter. Yeah, the G900 Chaos Spectrum. I loved it. It looks like the Batmobile. It was fantastic. Actually, if you have our 80s themed, and it's wireless, it responds faster than a lot of wired mice.
Really?
On wireless. Yeah. It's the whatever, the highest end mouse you can get, I think. At least it was at the time. And they rave about how light it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
That being wireless, it would have a battery.
Yeah.
The battery would weigh down quite a bit.
My preference is much more simple than that.
Too many buttons on that thing. Back in my day, we had left and right.
I don't like all those buttons, man. I don't use all those buttons. I need a middle mouse click, a scroll wheel, and like a left and right click.
I like a mouse 4 and a mouse 5.
We didn't have a mouse wheel. We had a crank. Left.
Mm-hmm. It's just too gimmicky. Like, I never use that stuff anyway. And yeah, wireless mice, usually the battery adds weight. What you can do though is replace whatever battery it came with, put in a lithium ion, and that'll save you, I don't know, 5-10 grams maybe, depending on which type you get. But that's something you can do. So it was either this or the final mouse, and the final mouse was all sold out, and I thought that would be too light. So I figured this would be a good adjustment. It's like straight up 50 grams lighter than my old mouse. It's a noticeable difference. Wow. Like I had to make the adjustment with the DPI. I had to lower it to 2,500.
That's not a bad thing, I think.
Deep House and Smooch both say that they're scared of a wireless. If you look at the Oh, there's the weights, by the way. Look how low that is, Bobby.
100 and, what was that, 108, I think it was?
So maybe it's even, yeah, yours is 90 grams?
Yeah, so we're around 90 grams.
Not only that, battery plays a factor into wireless, and I have a... I'm infamous for letting things run dry when it comes to juice. I mean, the watch I'm wearing doesn't even have any battery life right now.
It depends. But I'm still wearing it. My last mouse was a wireless mouse, and I never had an issue. I always kept it plugged in and charging.
Me too. Right.
And I hardly ever, unless I was sitting at my TV, which is very rare, I never really used the wire completely wireless. However, it was still communicating wirelessly. Never had any disconnects. The new Logitech G305 is totally wireless. You can't even plug it in to charge it. But it's supposed to be incredibly reliable. I still am a little bit iffy about wireless mouse. You know, like, think about it. If you were a competitive esports player, would you go play with a wireless mouse? Probably not. I mean, just in case, like any sort of disruption.
One hiccup, right?
Yeah.
Cost a big play.
Yeah, like, could be all the difference. But I'm pretty happy with this mouse. After about a day, I finally got used to it. I noticed that when I was playing, of course, Heroes of the Storm is going to be the ultimate test for it, because I've played that game so much, I know, like, I have muscle memory of exactly how to move things. And I had to actively change the way that I was holding my mouse and moving it around while I was playing. And then when, like, things got really... hectic in a fight, I would immediately, all that goes out the window, and I'm just operating off of muscle memory, and I would move my mouse too far in one direction and miss skill shots. After about a day, like, I played a ton yesterday, and I feel like I finally started getting rid of that, and I finally started accepting this new mouse and its movements as the norm. It's got a setting, I've never seen this before, in the software where you can run it around on your mouse pad for a little bit, and then it calibrates according to the surface.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's really
so
cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's definitely a different feel to this mouse. And I right away could tell this is better. This is absolutely better than what I had, but it's going to take getting used to. It's going to take a while to build the muscle memory.
I think you, on your stream, you put it pretty well. You're like, I'm worse now, but I can tell that I'm going to be better later.
Yeah, the potential is much higher on this.
It's really cheap.
For those on the audio side of this, which is the majority of people, you couldn't get a more plain looking mouse. It looks like something that comes free with when you buy a PC.
It's
right?
A very simple looking. This is actually the G305, which looks exactly like the G Pro, except the G Pro has LED lighting on it, which of course I turned off. But they have
buy
the same
Pro,
body. The G305 wasn't out yet, and the G305 is strictly wireless as well, which I'm sure is a great mouse. It has a newer sensor. But still, like a 3360 sensor, which is on the G Pro, like, that's really, really good, especially considering that my last mouse is 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old.
Wow, what was it?
G700, like the old G700, not the G700S.
Right.
And man, it's so weird, like, holding that thing now after using the G Pro for a while.
Because of the weight?
Yeah. I put this off for so long because I know changing mice is such a difficult task. Yeah. So yeah, it's been going good with that. It's taken some getting used to, but I am excited about my new mouse.
Good.
Emilio, do you like a heavy or a light mouse?
I prefer heavy.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
It's probably because they're both really strong.
I'm like super fucking strong.
Yeah, we're both pretty strong.
Yeah. Like when I'm,
I like a mouse that can.
It's not so much
stand
the
up
weight.
To my like grip, my it, monster grip.
Yeah,
right? Here's what's different about a light and a heavy mouse. It's not the weight and the effort it takes to move it. It's the inertia. So what I kept doing was overcorrecting. I would move my mouse over, and then I would expect the mouse to just kind of like come to a halt, but it would move further, and then I'd have to like move it back a little bit.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
but that's a software issue, not a
no it's actually like the physical like inertia of it. Like,
yeah,
he's not strong enough to actually stop the mouse on his own, so it's like carries his arm across the
you
table.
Should try being you should try being made of corded steel. It's amazing.
All right.
You would think like a robot just has like the, you know, the DPI in his software,
intuitive.
Yeah.
All right, time for some listener questions here. Pull this back. We got a lot of them this week.
Yeah,
so. Insert, a lot of them are
really good. And really good questions as well. So
yeah, definitely.
Keep it coming, guys.
We have a couple from like some brand new people too. That's really cool. That's awesome to see.
And yet again, we were just talking about how cool it is when new people are vocal. you can literally talk to pretty much any of us, mostly me and Minnie. Like right now, you're listening to this wherever you are, in your car, at your computer, whatever it is. If you just go to our Discord, there's a pretty good chance one of us is on and will probably reply, Bobby won't, to whatever you say at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is in the hardware section. I'll probably talk.
Yeah, just don't be creepy.
And I mean, you can be creepy. Shadowmaster does it pretty well.
Don't try to slide into our DMs or anything like that.
Oh, I'm all about that, especially if you have 20 bucks.
None of us are...
$20 bill. It's very specific.
Yes.
If you have two tens, you ain't getting blown.
Not going to happen.
No.
That's just too much work.
It's got to be a $20 bill. I don't know. He's got a thing for those.
That's twice the mass. I don't need all that.
It'll slow me down for the next blowjob.
And before we move on past hardware, just a quick little snippet. After 5 years of starting streaming, my little brother has finally had some interest and peek into streaming himself.
This
is one of my goals. He's actually my favorite person to play video games with, and he's my hard carry. He's really good at video games. Only because I raised him that way. Okay.
So why hasn't he streamed before this? Is he introverted a little bit?
He is definitely the only introvert in my family. Maybe my dad and my little brother.
Does he listen to the podcast?
He does not listen to the podcast. He does occasionally check out. I mean,
come on. Oh, we're not that entertaining. What is it?
He's very stubborn. He's a Taurus.
Gotcha.
Well,
in relation to the hardware topic, he said he had a maximum of $300 to start streaming. I told him not to sink too much because he hasn't even done it yet. He doesn't know if he likes it. And so I recommended just some of the key items when it comes to starting streaming. First thing, though, was microphone. So I did recommend my AT2020, which was on sale. I think he got it for $100. What a steal.
That's good.
Yeah. And then also, he already has a good headset, but I also recommended that he upgrade his webcam. And my third thing, which is super cheap, daylight bulbs, which is what we have in our studio. So you can't have soft white lighting or else you're just going to look orange on the webcam. So,
especially if you're Asian.
So he bought, you know, a mic stand, the mount, the shock mount, and everything else. And his startup for streaming is less than $300 for, I think, what's going to be a great quality stream.
That's
And I think, I mean, you say great quality, but if you wanted just to try it out, I think you probably get it done for $100, right?
Less than that. I mean, you can
make the headphones.
Headphones.
Yeah, if you don't have headphones.
Yeah.
But headphones. Like,
luckily enough, he had good headphones. He has a beast rig. He has a better rig than I do.
Yeah.
It's just that his internet's not as good as mine. Yeah. So we'll see.
Michigan?
He's out in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's the same shit.
Yeah. They're both cold and sucky.
But no, so that's just, so I didn't want him to spend any more than that.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're spending more than that to start up your stream, I say you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. You need to start up just to see, maybe like a $30.
Well, unless you need actual hardware, PC hardware.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But like a $30 webcam, $50 microphone, and $50 headset. That's it.
I guess you could get started up streaming at any cost. I was using basically just my old shit. I was on an 8-year-old keyboard. I was on, I was using a Xbox headset for crying out loud. I was using a Turtle Beach when I started streaming. Yeah. So we've come a long way, boys and girls.
Yes, Chosen. The question is, should I subscribe?
Only the $20 tier.
Yes.
At least you get an emote, Chosen, if you subscribe to DLG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby, let's go.
All right, first question comes from Shadow Master. He asks, how do you create a gaming persona?
You don't. You be yourself.
I'm definitely more of an asshole.
I have a persona. Smoochie is a persona.
But that's a streaming persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, Smoochie, the only real difference between myself and Smoochie is Smoochie just, I kiss the camera a lot. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And she's sluttier.
Oh, but then Raunchy is the slutty one.
Yeah.
Smoochie isn't slutty. She's cute.
Sorry.
But then Raunchy is the slutty one.
Sorry.
Yeah. Regardless, still Chi.
Most people, I think, just either they show one side of themselves or they have a more exaggerated version of themselves on stream. I mean, it's just, are they, you know, like Dr. Disrespect, he goes full on.
But that's streaming. Yeah. He's just talking about gaming.
Oh, gaming
in general. Yeah.
Gaming. I mean, streaming, being on YouTube, it's all kind of the same thing. A media personality type.
I would even say, if you were going to do anything, I would say be a little more polite because everybody's so aggro all the time. If you're,
love the aggro boys. Yeah. I love my aggro boys. Very well.
But if you're polite, you're more likely to be.
People love a shit show. They want to see the drama.
Are we talking about streaming though? We're talking about everything.
Okay. We're talking about
gaming. I think
Emilio and I are talking about gaming because
Playing Smite, dude. If people is aggro, we didn't want them on our team.
Yeah,
you'll invite those guys back.
We're talking about a gaming persona though.
We're talking about someone
that you would watch either on Twitch, on YouTube.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, gaming persona.
Okay,
I think like he's a media persona. Like a gaming persona.
Every time Shadow Master asks a question, nobody knows what the fuck. Maybe he's on a different level, like a way smarter level.
Are you talking about like, hey, now I'm playing video games? Now I'm going to be this type
of person. Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck does that?
Shadow Master.
Yeah, that's what I said. Don't do it.
No, I just think you guys are misinterpreting the question.
I think you are too. And here we go again.
I think we're at a 50-50.
Fucking Shadow Master, you're going to break the whole podcast apart.
You turn Emilio down right now.
Yeah, he turned Emilio down immediately after that.
Sorry.
No, I think you guys didn't understand
the question. You're tearing us apart.
Okay. Fuck it. Next question.
What's your persona?
Gaming persona?
Yeah.
Just I'm actually a lot nicer when I'm doing like a gaming persona. Like I try not to ruffle any feathers. I try to like smooth out any discord.
Discord.
You're the mediator.
Nice. Well, definitely. Okay. It's like, hey guys, just chill out. We lost that round. Let's do better this one.
I take flamethrowers to bridges. That's what I do. Just burn them all down.
I've definitely stopped playing with those people. I have like in real life friends.
Dead man's float in a toxic barrel. That's what gaming with me is like. Well, Bobby just nods.
I'm reading up on this next question. Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay. So this one comes from Nathan. So what is your opinion on laws that would prohibit companies from making console exclusive titles? He goes on to describe how this has kind of happened in the film industry with the antitrust case of 1948. That's actually interesting in Hollywood history. So the golden age of Hollywood was studios basically owned everything. They owned the actors, they owned the production companies, they owned the movie theaters, and they had quite a monopoly on it. That lasted from like the 20s to like the 50s, and then TV came around, and then this Antitrust Act kind of did away with that, and movies weren't too popular for like a decade or two until we had this kind of renaissance in the 70s. But I think that's a really good question, and it's really hard for me to compare it to the film industry. I hate comparing games to movies. I feel like we try too hard to draw parallels between the two. As far as people making games that only work on a specific console, I don't know. I don't know if there's any way that we could prevent that.
Yeah, I don't think there is any.
I don't know.
I don't think it would be fair to legally prevent that.
Yeah.
I feel like the amount of development that goes behind catering one title on different cross platforms, it's just too much work, too much money involved. I mean, half the time when these games are made, do they even get the return payout? Having a certain law in force that prohibits them from even releasing more material and more content because of the amount of extra effort that's going to be put behind that. It's different than showing a movie because film is the same. And, you know, it's one format and it can be portrayed anywhere. Whereas with consoles, console gaming versus PC gaming, and then just developer code, there's so many things involved. And not only just developing the code, but making sure it works and fixing the bugs and just making it a playable game for so many different people. I would be totally against a law as such.
What is the question in one sentence exactly?
I think it's up here at the top. So what is your opinion on laws that would prohibit companies from making console exclusive titles? So you made a game, it had to be available on all consoles. Mm. That's pretty tough to
hold. That's never going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but should it?
It's more of like, should it?
No, it sounds like a gamer wish. Like I wish there was a law. It's never going
to
happen.
I think it's a little idealistic because if you said, okay, if you make a game, it has to be available on all console or on all consoles, all platforms. That's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah,
like if
definitely.
I make an Xbox game, I know the architecture.
How about a DS game?
You know, like I know what's going to work on that, and I know how to program it or whatever all the technical side of it is. Like it's much easier. That's what Mac has done for the longest time.
Not only that, you can't really downgrade a game to work on a handheld, let's say,
or a Switch.
Yeah.
Like Switches don't, or Nintendo products usually don't have the capacity that the other one, that's why they don't get most of the games. But
I don't know, you can play Fortnite on your phone now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's my opinion, just in one sentence, like, it'd be nice, but it just can't happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's kind of a case-by-case case basis. Yeah. There's a lot of situations where it's not a technical issue.
Maybe
it's,
if
it's
we a got
legal issue. Like, right. The reason
maybe if Lord Gaben became president, something like that would happen, but it's just not going to happen.
President of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to get president more titles on the fantasies. PC. That would really be my only interest in something like that, but I don't think there's any way you can ever enforce that.
Good sentiment.
Cool. What's next?
Bullstone asks, if you were given over $100 million to develop a AAA game, describe what it would be. Can't be a sequel.
So mine, I would get like an RTS game, something like medieval times, let's say Age of Empires.
Okay.
And then when a battle starts, you could have like a general on the field, and your general, like, you would fight something like a For Honor style against like another general, and that would like give your forces more morale.
It's called Dynasty Warriors, dude.
No, but that's like, you just play as that guy, and you're just killing troops. Like, this would be like general on general plus RTS.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it'd be like skill based, as in like actual like one on one, but also like tactician. Mm. Yep.
So action with strategy.
Yeah, RTS plus actual swordplay. Mm.
Mm. Cool. I wouldn't buy it.
I'd go with the Skintendo joy suit.
Oh my god!
No, I'm just kidding.
That movie was terrible.
So bad. Just jokes, guys. I'll say it again. World of Warcraft VR, just because.
Sure.
Yeah,
VR MMO, a good one.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I think you might need $1 billion for that. Unfortunately, yeah.
You that would be a very big budget. But
no, $100 million is probably enough.
Can you imagine like physically mining ore for hours on end, just like tink, tink?
Yeah, they'd fix that. It'd be a good one. So yeah, you'd hire gnomes to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Bobby's thinking. So am I. I can't really think.
I don't know. $100 million seems like a lot of money to make a game. I don't know if I'd need all that money.
Or would you just pocket it and say, hey, here's Tetris 2?
Yeah, probably get away with it, too. I mean,
yeah,
Tetris,
that's true.
The name sells it right there.
Multi-platform Tetris 2.
I would probably try to take something completely mundane, like office work, and see how amazing of a game I could turn that into, you know?
Okay.
Not quite Papers, Please, but something like maybe co-op multiplayer where, like, you know, someone plays Barbara in accounting and then, you know, someone plays, like, project lead and, you know, everyone's got to work together to keep the company afloat and, you know, but it's really about keeping corporate happy.
You could make that for $4,500.
I think the Germans would really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to see if I can trick people into doing office work instead of playing games.
For me, so they're about to come out with Elder Scrolls 5, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just start 6.
6?
Just to get the ball rolling so I can get it.
Wait, no, 5 was Skyrim, wasn't it?
So, yeah, so 6.
6.
They're working on 6.
So you only get 7.
I buy 7.
You know what?
No, it says it can't be an existing...
Ah, shit. Okay.
I'm going to change my answer again. I think a combat DDR, but with body suits would be fun.
So like sumo wrestling? Sumo wrestling?
Kind of.
Okay. You could feel like what's going on.
You know those games where if it lights up on the wall, you tap it at the arcade, and then you're just hitting different areas.
Okay.
Like imagine if it, or just like if you have ever done practice combat with like wooden swords or anything, to have actual body suits register well to different contact. So like a contact combat game.
Okay.
$100 million, I might make a sex game. That, like an actual good one that'll actually make money. Like
a dildo shit. Controller.
Can't make money with a sex game.
What?
Until
are
my
you,
game
Bobby,
comes out.
Hello. What world do you live in?
The real world where 90% of people who play video games are 12-year-old kids. They can't buy that.
Why do you think who are Fortnite's just starting to get into porn, I'm
dude,
sure.
The majority of gamers are over 30, dude.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Has it averaged on up?
Playing Fortnite?
No. Fortnite's an exception. It's a free game where kids don't have money to buy.
Fortnite is a good distraction for parents.
Dude, I'm going to have the killer
app. Son, just go to your room and play Fortnite. Leave me alone.
I'm going to have the killer app of beating off, dude. It's like, oh, you're still doing Pornhub, dude? No, you haven't played Emilio's XX Extravaganza? Yep.
Only two X's. Not good enough for three X's.
Yeah.
All right, next question coming from Meridian. I think this is a new name here.
Thanks, Captain.
I am in my 40s and have been gaming since 1981. First console on the Atari 2600. First computer was a Commodore 64. Question is, what era did each of you start gaming, and what was your first platform? Going back to the roots.
This is the first question from him. Is this the Prime Meridian? Anyone? All right,
never mind. Meridian.
It's a joke.
Meridian Prime? Wait, no, Prime Meridian. Meridian. You're right, right. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
God, these...
Sorry.
Sub don't even know their geography over here. Unbelievable. It's,
what area? Okay, so for me, it's pretty lame because it's probably the answer of most people about my age. It's the NES. Yeah.
You just started with 2600?
Ditto.
No, I played some 2600 and it definitely spiked my interest, but I didn't have one of those.
Okay.
And then my neighbor got a Nintendo with the robot, with Rob and all
Rob,
that.
Yeah.
And I was
Nintendo
like,
Nintendo came out
what?
In 1983?
I think it was 85.
See, we're all wrong.
I think it's 84. I'm going to go 1984. Chi, you want to get
my,
on this?
I bugged my parents the entire...
No, she's texting.
After playing that all the way through the year,
oh,
I just
man.
Kept telling them.
1983. I was right.
Really?
The first time.
I didn't even... Wow.
Yeah.
No good games came out
so
until like
I probably
85.
Got it. I probably got it in like 85 or 86.
Because yeah, Legend of Zelda came out in 84.
Did it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was born 88, and the original NES is my first console, and the first game I remember is Duck Hunt, and then yeah, Super Mario.
Yep.
So those...
Probably pretty similar.
And then from the NES system, I've owned every single console through, minus the Switch and the most current Xbox. Otherwise, I've owned virtually all of them.
When did games get... Okay, anyway, do you guys want to answer this question?
Yeah, well, mine was Nintendo.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody in Nintendo. Mine was a 2600.
You had one.
We had that when I was real young, and of course I took to that thing real quick. And the games on there were not good. I mean, they were so...
That was going to be my follow-up question.
They're so short-sighted. It was like, back then, one person made one game. Like,
yeah,
they just developed an entire game by themselves. But they're very just simple. But
yeah,
I don't know. There was nothing else to play. So I played the hell out of that. And we didn't get a Nintendo till I think, the late 80s. And I was so excited to get that. That was a whole other world, man. That busted it wide open.
I know this is all subjective, but I was thinking, like, what... What was the first subjectively good game that you played? Like, thinking now, thinking back, all those games are fucking dog shit.
Duck Hunt is awesome, dude.
Wait, you mean objectively or subjectively?
Subjectively. It's all subjective, right? When I say good, I mean, the first game that I would be like, when I was like, oh,
so
this
the game
is
that you played
new.
Back then, that
yeah,
was,
like,
that
you
thought
you could
was
play
good
now and still be like, this is a good game. I think Super Mario 3.
Well, then it would be more objectively good.
Okay. I would say Super Mario 3 for me was like a breakthrough. Like, oh, wow. Like, you can move around on the map and there's different ways you can go around doing things. And the music
yeah
was great.
It broke up because games were so linear back
yeah
then. And mm-hmm Super Mario 3 said, hey, how about instead of going to this square, you go to that square?
Whoa! Mind blow.
Boom.
Yeah. Do you guys...
Mario 3, yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. That was definitely a game changer, if you will.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go a little bit later because mine was Sonic, like the first Sonic.
Oh, you
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic's not fun, dude. It's the worst.
Okay,
I like
yeah
Sonic.
You don't like it. That's fine, but
I like Sonic because Sonic.
So the whole thing about Sonic was just
went
like, hey, it's the 90s. Let's go
like
fast.
Yeah,
Mario got a mustache. Fuck that guy, old Italian dude. No, you want a crazy fast.
It was all about.
It was
speed.
Totally appealing to that like
younger demographic.
Yeah, extreme, you know, everything
yeah
with the X in front
exactly
of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
That was the appeal to it. But I mean,
he's extreme with everything but his operating systems.
Back in the day, one of my favorite games, I don't know what system it was on, probably SNES, but Joe and Mac. Have you ever heard of Joe and Mac?
No. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
It Joe was Mac a linear caveman, almost like Super Mario.
Was that
but
on
the very unique Sega element about Joe and Mac, of course, you were fighting dinosaurs, which is really cool.
Oh,
but this one,
this
you also had the option of having a wife. And I was blown out of my mind with that element
you
of
love,
simulation.
You love
but do you
relationships
know,
and video
do you
games.
Do you
want to
know
you
how you
it
got your wife?
You beat her
beat
up,
her up and take her to what? Your cave?
Wait. So you get your wife and Joe and Mac mm-hmm by, so there's three curtains And you choose your wife based on her feet. Mm. And when the curtain revealed, you either there was like a you know, like an average wife, the hot wife, and then there was like the fat wife. And all their feet, they all had skinny feet. That's the problem. So if you got the fat wife, you were either laughing at the person who got the fat wife, or you were just hitting the hard reset on the game. So and this is almost strictly a co-op game. Joe and Mac meant to be played with somebody else, and it was so much fun. I know this is a little bit dated later, but it was just one of those titles where I will never forget unveiling the
Fat Wife. Is he throwing up other cavemen that he had eaten?
Oh, there's your wife.
Oh, look at the smoke show.
Yeah, she's coming to kiss you.
Nice.
Yeah, and just runs past your brother because she don't give a fuck. Yeah, so... But no, I loved.
Like fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Sonic's not good. Let's move on.
All right, next question coming from Ward Conius. I think we got a two-parter here. State of Decay 2 looks like the cat's pajamas. Confirm or deny?
Confirmed. Not for Benny though.
Never played it. Oh, that's that one. Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, he was like, "What are you?"
Mm-hmm. When does this game come out?
May 22nd.
Soon. Very soon.
Yep.
Okay, so the day this episode airs. So we'll talk about it next week. You guys are going
to
play it, right?
It's good enough for me to play it, but I'm not going to
Are you going to spend $1 on gaming this year? Bobby, I know you have this whole thing that you're not going
to
do.
You went from not buying a bowl of trash to not buying anything.
Yeah,
I am. I told you, I'm going to play Far Cry 2 and maybe Fear 2 Origin. Like, I'm digging
retro.
Through that backlog, man. Okay. I'm gonna re-educate everybody.
I mean, you can't fault him on it. He has like 4,000 games, so he needs to play.
Yeah,
some
I'm
of them.
I'm playing those games that we all forgot about.
But we're gonna play this together as a group.
No, we're not.
State of Decay 2.
Bobby won't even let you like shoulder brush him when we take group photos. Let alone, does he want to play co-op with us? It's so true.
All right, next part of the question from Orconius. Not much of a question, but look at the person sitting next to you. If you are on the middle, look to your left and tell them the thing that they do that annoys the crap out.
I can't wait for Cheese answer.
Wait, am I supposed to look at Minnie?
Yes.
Can you even do that?
I think he knew the setup. Bobby, get her. Bobby, get her. This is our time.
Minnie, oh, you're going first? Contact, Windows 7.
That's what annoys you?
Yeah,
something that affects you in no way is something
you're
that annoys
so
you?
You're so stubborn.
Why does that? That doesn't affect you, though. That's what annoys you? There's more shit than... How about the fact that I'm not Chad? That's probably what annoys you the most.
That's true.
Get over it. He's gone.
No, Chad is normally to my right.
He got you.
Yeah, Chad is normally to my right, though.
I feel like Warconius is trying to sow the seeds of destruction.
Yeah, he is.
He's trying to bring
it down. He knows who's left of who.
Bobby can say something that annoys me.
Nope, nobody can say anything bad about him.
No, I have to.
I don't know.
Because
we're going
clockwise.
Who's next to you, and if you're in the middle, say something on the left.
I can't think of anything creative.
No, I'm doing
Bobby. I bet Emilio will tell. Emilio will say Bobby.
I'll give an amusing anecdote, though. Like, people always ask me, doesn't that annoy you? Doesn't that annoy you? And I'm like, no, not really. And the line I always think about is from the first Avengers movie where the Hulk, what's his name? Who plays the
Mark
Hulk?
Ruffalo?
No. The Hulk before he turns into the big green monster.
Oh. Bruce Banner?
He's like, yeah, Bruce Banner says,
I'm always
you know what my secret is? I'm always mad. And I'm like, you know what my secret is? I'm always annoyed. I'm just annoyed by everything. That's just my life. And I think it's just my disposition. And it's not like...
So Bobby's answer is everything.
Bobby wakes up every morning with...
fucking
Bobby
sorry.
Bobby is like not just my immediate left, but all of my lefts. Everything annoys me.
So is that your way of answering without answering? Is that what
just
happened?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Bobby.
I think it works.
Nothing about the way I smell.
Get her, Bobby.
I mean, I just literally just shed all over you today. That didn't annoy you?
That looks like you're about to roll up a doobie.
It does. It definitely does.
Some real cheap Mexican weed there.
Minnie, get me.
Your fucking metal tumbler with your goddamn huge chunks of ice. Dude, get some crushed ice or get a plastic cup, a sippy cup or something.
That's true. I agree.
A straw.
That annoys me about myself. The thing that annoys me about Bobby is that I can't crack him. Like, I can't make that guy laugh very often. But when I do, it's like right now. It worked. He laughs. So
just getting him to show his teeth, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, if I ever do laugh, you should clip it because that's an occasion.
Yeah, like an out. Oh no, an outdoor laugh. No. A smile like is what audible. I consider a
yeah,
laugh.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. If the you do an actual
laugh, like a
yeah.
belly laugh, like a big old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. That yeah.
I don't know if I still twice. Can. Man, like sometimes when I go
forgot
to
how.
No, it's like well, yeah. I mean, kind of, but it's like my body goes to laugh, and I'm just like, well, wait, how do I do this again? Like, and then it comes out really weird. Like I give like a maniacal like.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah. See, there's a good laugh. That's a good laugh. That's a hearty laugh. That sounds authentic, real. That's a great take right there. That one's in the can. Soon done. See, I can't
to get across the world. Oh.
Oh, boy.
See what one shot of mezcal does? It rips the boat apart.
Yeah. It all falls apart.
Oh, I'm sweating.
We're Conus and tequila. Gosh. Put an end. Okay. Next question coming from JP Diddy.
Sounds like an angry goose.
Geese are always angry, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And hungry.
And horny. Yeah.
Are they?
It all comes out in the honk.
You know, considering how much geese I've seen, I don't think I've ever seen geese dick. I don't even know what that...
No, most birds, you can't see them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh. Do you guys know how rapey ducks are? Have yes. you heard about
yeah, we've talked about it like six times on the podcast.
Wait, what? Really?
Well, we have new listeners.
You'd think this podcast was about ducks raping each other. That's how much we've talked about
when I learned about it, it blew my mind, so that's why I bring it up all the time.
Like,
do you know how much I can relate to ducks, guys?
Recycles comment here. Commencement of laughter. Ha, ha, ha.
That's Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. JP Diddy asks, is the DL Gaming crew going to be representing at E3?
I will probably never be going to another E3.
They got a picture of you with the no sign on it there, right?
Yeah.
Did you get kicked out of there?
No, it's just like, oh, yeah, I did get kicked out. I didn't get kicked out. I was not allowed re-entry. Because
it's in LA, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have a real ticket.
Well, that's more of an insider thing.
Yeah, you staying at home and watching live feeds of just the videos coming out is much more efficient than being on the ground floor. Yeah.
Even for Comic-Con these days.
And it's such a clusterfuck that it's not worth being there. It's just too many people doing too... And it's not me being... I'm very rarely the old guys be like, oh, these, it's just too busy over here. No, like it literally is too much of a good thing. Too
even,
many people.
Even at BlizzCon, we experienced that. Like you only have a finite amount of time to do certain things and everything's happening at the same time. So you have to make decisions. What do I want to attend? You are going to miss things.
But at least in between things, you're not being herded from things.
Yeah.
Herded? Like,
there was plenty of space for you to walk. I was comfortable at BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. You are not comfortable at E3. It's just a clusterfuck of people. Too many people. I don't want to be there. I could report better sitting at home watching videos. Than
by
I
the
could
way, don't forget,
there.
Clusterfuck mm-hmm. is the official term to describe
a bunch of people,
large
right?
gathering of people, of yes. humans.
Uh-huh. A group of people is a clusterfuck.
If you listen to people talk about going to E3, like when I listen to This Week in Computer Hardware and they're like, E3's coming, like there's a sense of dread in their voice when they bring it up. They do not like, I think a lot of people do not like going to this event. Number one, you're always going to get sick when you go to these types of things. Number two, it's complete and utter chaos. And yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, we won't be going. It's more of like an insider thing. Like,
yeah, but don't listen to these cantankerous old men. You can probably enjoy yourself like me at a freaking rave concert. Like, I know it's busy and everything.
E3's not like designed to be like entertaining, though. It's
really?
Not like for the consumer. No, it's more of like a
insiders.
Trade show.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like business insiders and stuff.
Well, if you so happen to enjoy yourself, good for you. Because, you, I mean, it would be really exciting to be in there, I think, in my... I've never went to an E3. I think the closest thing I've ever been to an insider's conference that is where you're crammed like sardines is probably the GameStop Managers Conference. And that's... That back in the day was held in Vegas. And we would have thousands and thousands of GameStop managers just shoved into rooms and everything else. And it's
sounds
not meant
smelly.
To be...
Yeah.
It's not meant to be, it was fun, but it wasn't really meant to be fun. It was meant to be just like E3, where we like overstuff our brains with new content and information, so that way we're enthused about selling these titles.
Sounds like a neckbeard gathering.
Our floors. I had a lot of fun.
Stuff like that is often fun at first, but when you talk to a lot of people in the industry who've been going for like 11 years straight, they're just like, oh my God, kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Last question coming from Sniper. Have you heard of people talking or taking Adderall to focus and play competitive games for a long period of time? Oh yeah. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
I don't think it really helps you that much. I've known lots of people who have done that. Mm-hmm. And what I've found is they feel like they're a lot better, which drugs and alcohol often do. They make you feel like you're performing better than you actually are. There is something to be said, like it can allow you to focus a little bit more, especially if you're the type of person to become distracted. But I don't know. Plus, there's always
there's also an effect
whenever you come down off of drugs. Like, there's always sort of like negative reactions to that. So if you're coming down out of Adderall, you know that you have to go through that whole process, and you're probably going to be worse at a game. So,
but doesn't confidence beget success? You know what I mean? Like, if you feel like you're doing better, you're probably doing better.
Yeah.
And there's there's that thing. There's a documentary right now about pills. I forget. It's called like, I forget. But
you know what I've noticed? And I was just having a conversation with someone about this the other day, because we were talking about the esports scene in Heroes of the Storm. And I was telling someone, you know, it really takes to be a competitive esports player. It's not just about being good. It's about being consistent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, performance enhancing drugs like Adderall, I mean, they can help you temporarily, but that's not going to build consistency. That's not going to.
Yeah, you can take a pill every time you play it, dude, easily.
Isn't that going to reduce the effect, though?
You take more. I'm not kidding.
Always like, chasing that dragon.
If there's a competitive scene,
at what point do you become cracked out?
Don't watch that movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that happens as well. And that's probably why
it's a
balance. In any time that there's money involved and there's competitiveness, everybody's looking for an edge. I 100% believe that, I would even say the majority of pro gamers are taking something.
Yeah, I've heard it was pretty wide in StarCraft 2 and the old Counter-Strike things, like Counter-Strike Source way back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's inevitable, and it's also going to get worse or better, depending on how you do it or look at the something like this. I personally feel that you should probably be able to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally I don't take drugs or anything at all, but I have had one experience with Adderall, and I almost can't imagine myself on Adderall playing video games. I took Adderall once before EDC. And with Adderall, it basically turned me into a chatty Cathy, and I wanted to, and I just really went, I was bouncing off the walls. It was almost like caffeine on being caffeinated, like being like coked out.
What were you doing though?
I was at a EDC.
Oh, okay. So yeah, but if you had a task to do, like studying it, a lot of people say it helps hyper focus into that one thing.
Really?
Yeah.
See, with me, I guess.
But you weren't doing anything.
Yeah, my environment. Yeah, my environment was a lot different, so I wouldn't even know the effects. I know the crashing effects. That felt like, you know, my heart was going to burst.
There's
like,
proven
laying down, but
SAT scores that are higher with people with Adderall.
It's also proven that if you dress up to take your test, that level of confidence also boosts your score. Like if you feel like you look good while like taking, exactly. They recommend that you dress up when you take tests.
There's like what Bobby's getting at is, I think there's no biological free lunch. You're going to pay a price at some point, but you're going to win a lot of games on the way up. So are people going to do it? A lot. Like I said, I think the majority of the roster is already on it.
Yeah, but I think we're getting to a point with esports where we can start thinking about things a little more long term.
Do you think when are drug testing going to be put into esports? You guys think how many years before that happens?
I think they have already done that.
Stream froze, Bobby. I don't know if you want to.
It should be back by now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I've heard of them already testing for Adderall.
Yeah,
I've heard them do that. I've heard that they have done it. But I'm just saying, like, I can't imagine someone being like, hey, I want to be an esports player for the next 3 years. And rather than put in the hard work and the sacrifice and learning this or that and putting in an honest effort. I'm just going to
No, take I think you're looking at it the wrong way, dude. I'm talking about, so once you get to the upper
like
echelon.
Like steroids, like you do everything
yeah.
that I just described, but then you also do.
No.
Then you also take Adderall just for the,
okay,
the edge.
So with steroids, like anabolic steroids, it allows you to work harder when you're training, and that's what pays off more. It's not that like you're being lazy and then the steroids do all the work.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said.
The steroids make you work or allow you to work harder. So
it's like overclocking.
Yeah, exactly. At the risk of breaking down, right? Yeah,
but you overclock a computer and it doesn't last as long.
Yeah. Exactly what I just said. All right, whatever. I don't know if we agree with this. Okay, I'm confused. But let's move on.
All right. Well, that is our last question.
Cool.
So let's wrap it up. Who's doing what this week?
Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah.
I would love to get some more co-op games in and maybe start a new game that I might make it to the finish. So.
That's one thing about Deep Rock. Like, I don't know what the fin- I guess specking out your dude completely.
Yeah, I think that's the guy that we were playing with.
Dwarf Furious.
Yeah, he just finally like maxed out his account level and all character levels. Like the game that I played him on, that was like his last one. He put in Discord, like, I'm going to take a break from this game for a while because I've done everything there is to do.
Right. Until the next patch,
Until the next patch, right.
And that's what I don't want to happen, but I'm going to have fun along the way. So, fuck it. I want to play it. I'm going to play it.
Yeah, let's play it.
Yep.
More Battletech, definitely. I want to get my perfect lance.
I thought you just beat the game.
Yeah, I want to get my perfect lance still.
Okay.
Perfect lance being the whole team.
But I feel like you're going to start this endeavor and then give up because you don't have a goal anymore. But we'll see. I guess you do have a goal.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And then once I get the perfect lance, I'll go for the DLC and then we'll do it again.
I ran around in Far Cry 5 for maybe 5 minutes when I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
I already went.
Oh,
okay.
I wasn't listening. Bobby?
Far Cry 2, possibly Fear 2, Origin. Far Cry 2 is such a, I don't know. It's an open world game. Everything's just so brown and dull. I don't know if I'll be able to complete
the one in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time with
it. Have you played
17 hours long too? So
have you played every Far Cry?
I have not. I have not completed 2, Primal, and 5.
Okay.
Those are the only ones.
Oh, right. 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm knocking them off the list. But yeah, that's the plan.
All cool. Right. So that's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
Speaking for Bobby, we're going to get Ray down low. Speaking for Chi, chocolate mini. Del Macho.
Micro Del Macho.
Micro Del Macho. Deep Rock Titties, everybody. Goodbye. That's got an idea.
Yeah.
Wow, you really screwed the pooch on that one, Bobby.
I'm